much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
This is your moment. The world breathes for you. I love you myself.
And playback.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
It's a bizarre story about an attempted rape. Apparently a dude climbed in the window and tried to get in bed with this guy's sister. Mm-hmm. And she beat him off. She beat him up and scared him off. That's what happened. That is what happened.
Well, must be psychosomatic.
Now, don't worry. That's just a fancy doctor word for your brain is broken. Unfortunately, there's no field of medicine that deals with the brain.
You with me?
I sure am.
You with me now?
I love it.
You know you love it.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You better believe I'm DTF.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Where's the outrage there?
Roll another one.
Oh my God.
Just like the other one.
No.
This one seems to be about.
H's way of saying hi.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Let's go grab some of that meat.
Roll another one.
Wow, that's a low price.
Just like.
Not at all.
This one seems to be about to end.
Do you think this ruse at the Marriott
available?
Another
cent. Oh my God.
It's the end of the.
Let's begin, shall we?
And now.
Well, there's something weird going on here.
You feel that sexual energy, too?
I mean, but it would be wrong to act on it.
Our feature presentation.
So we've been told. I don't know if we'd buy into that, but.
What are you going to do? You got to work side by side with Lisa Mae for all these years and not notice? Come on, we're just men.
We're only humans.
She looks at me like I'm a human. Piece of meat. I'm getting tired of it, I got to be honest.
Poor man. Yeah. I know. I try to contain myself. Well, it's difficult.
It is difficult around me. Yeah. I can see
that. How often do you catch her checking you out, though? Seriously. You look up and she's staring at you, you know, and she thinks you don't notice.
This is like 15 times
a day. And I'm drool coming down the side of my face.
She's not looking at my face either, buddy. You know what I mean?
Hey, what'd you bring in for beer mug today?
Oh, I didn't bring anything.
I thought it was going to be pizza.
No. We found out his weakness. We're going to order food from a different place.
Oh, that's nice. Really? Something that smells really good, I hope.
Yeah, it's something that he can't resist. So we're going to try and do that today.
Oh, my God.
Every day.
The first day we brought in, cupcakes?
Brownies.
Second day, we brought in chocolate-covered strawberries. He had a hard time with that, but he kept away from it.
He did.
Did not eat one of them.
How did the rest of your day go?
The rest of my day went okay.
Yeah?
I had steak for lunch, and then I had grilled chicken for dinner again.
Wow. Look at him. I thought he might cave later because it took all his willpower.
Well,
not to have the strawberry.
The weekend is coming up, and that's when, you know, Beer Mug hangs out with all of his drinking friends. So.
Yeah.
Drinking. That's going to be the hard. That's going to be
no,
hard.
No,
for
no, no. The drinking does not add pounds. I don't know what you're talking about. That's
really alcohol's good for diets.
It actually helps you lose weight. Speeds up your metabolism.
I didn't realize that. Yeah, there you go, Muggs. That's great news for you.
You drink as much. The more you drink, the better.
Actually, the best weight loss alcoholic drink is Jack and Diet Soda.
Well, it's not a weight loss.
No calories, no carbs. It won't. It won't put anything on you.
That I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. So you go for that.
It will.
Shh, be quiet. What's wrong with you?
Because I don't have money on it.
Well, get money in then.
I didn't want to be against
Come on now.
Let's welcome into an all-new Kevin and Bean show here for a Friday, by the way. Melissa Petro, or Petro, is her name. She is back in the news. They've done an update with her on this article on AOL.com. We talked about her last year, I think, when the entire world, including the mayor of New York City, was calling for her to be fired as a teacher in the New York City public schools. Why? Because she wrote an article for Huffington Post where she detailed that she used to be a hooker.
Oh.
Now, she, you know, like many young women, looked at that as a way to support herself and make some money. And she never had any problem with it. She never said she was a victim. It was something she wanted to do, something that she enjoyed very much, and something that she did to kind of get back on her feet and then went off to, you know, back to college and pursued education. And now she has two master's degrees,
wow,
5 years experience in nonprofit work, 3 years as a teacher, was a very popular and well-respected teacher until she published that article where she basically, you know, she wrote that article because there were some stories in the news that she had an opinion on, had a comment on. And then everybody in the world, I mean, next thing you know, she's on the cover of the New York Post as the hooker teacher, and there are protests, and she's
How come
disgrace.
I never got a hooker teacher?
Well, she wasn't hooking with the kids while she was teaching.
But she might have.
Why do you say that?
If I got enough money. I'm just saying, there's always options.
So anyway, so everybody up to it, including Mayor Bloomberg, came out and called for her to be removed from the classroom. And the reason this article is written now is she is virtually unemployable in her field of interest, which is to be a teacher. And it does bring the question up, how long does she suffer from that choice that she made when she was 19 to be a hooker for a few months? How long do you hold that against her? And does it really mean that she's not capable or smart enough or competent enough to teach her children? And what is it you're afraid is going to happen in the classroom if she's around your kids?
If she'd written something that said, I was a terrible, terrible drug user, and mm-hmm. then I turned my life around, I went to school, I got two masters,
That'd be good.
Right.
She would not be fired, yeah. right?
Correct.
Yeah.
I killed a man. No problem. No problem.
You paid your dues.
Paid your dues. Come on back into the classroom.
Is it just the hang up over the sex? Is that
yeah.
all this
I think
is?
So.
Is that she's... Yeah. She's a filthy whore, so therefore she'll never be good enough to be around my precious children. Is that what's going on here?
But, you know, that's foolish of her not to read the room.
Yeah, it is. I mean, she should see that coming.
Yeah,
but
I think
also,
so.
It's unfair, correct, but she should see that coming.
But also, in 2011, shouldn't you be allowed to have an adult conversation about a topic like this without being a pariah for life?
Yeah.
Listen to this last article in the article. Ms. Petro wishes her story could have raised issues like the legality of prostitution and the constitutionality of her speech. Instead, she describes herself as being treated as a monster, vanquished, now left to hand out resumes and scrounge desperately for cash. The same bleak circumstances that lead so many women to sex work in the first place. I was being idealistic. I was being provocative. I was naive. I picked a fight that I thought I could win, and I was wrong. But she can't teach with that background and that experience and that education. And don't we need teachers? I mean, isn't that what we're looking for, are teachers who are competent and passionate?
But wouldn't she have been able to teach had she not had to write that down and send it in?
Yes, of course. But she shouldn't. My point is that she should not be penalized because that was a choice that she made.
My point is, A, you said penal. Two, or B... she should know the way things work. The way things work is we're super uptight about sex. If you say you used to be a hooker,
I mean, changes slowly year by year.
Very, obviously.
And she probably has moved the debate a little bit forward, but she's paying a terrible price for that.
Yeah, exactly.
What age kids was she teaching?
It doesn't say in this article.
I'd be curious. If they were really young. Maybe if she tried to teach older or even college. I mean, she's got two masters.
I don't know. I think older in college to me seems like, I don't know. I guess
they'd be more likely to.
Your worry is that she's going to go back to that life with some of her students. I would imagine. What else would your worry be?
I don't know.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. That's exact. Kevin, you're a parent. You've got kids in school. You find out that one of your teacher's kids used to be a hooker. What's your move?
Get her phone.
Get $100 together, right? That's your move.
Get $100 together and get her phone number.
You know what's probably worrisome is that she didn't go, oh, that was terrible. I hated it. I was forced to do it. But
oh,
she
maybe.
Just came out and said, nah. And so now it's a moral thing.
It
she
was
has
a
no
choice.
Morals.
She just made a choice.
Yeah. Mm.
Interesting. Mm. Well, anyway, I'm very disappointed. I'm disappointed in the world. when I read stories
Bean
like this.
Bean is disappointed in the world.
I'm disappointed
every
in the world
day,
because,
my friend.
That's rough.
Because, look, if you're gonna come down on girls who moved to Mexico to become strippers at 19 and then start turning tricks, then I don't want to live in this country anymore. Because that's the ideal right there. Those are the good ones. Those are the girls that we should be applauding. Those are the girls that should get free stuff for life.
Free stuff for life.
She moved to Mexico to do it?
I don't know. Maybe she was down there on spring break and I have no idea what the details were.
Oh, but Mexico was involved?
Well, I said she went to Mexico and became a stripper.
Because we've been to strippers in Mexico.
Yes, we have.
Oh, I've seen her picture, though. I've seen her picture. She's hot. Okay. She's a very hot white girl. Believe me.
She didn't fit in the strip clubs in Mexico.
Yeah, maybe not. I don't think she moved to Mexico. I think that's where she started stripping. And then from there, probably brought her vagina back over the border and made some.
We should say it wasn't all of Mexico. It was just Tijuana. Those strip clubs.
Oh, yeah.
Woo. Wow. Well, that particular one was the saddest little strip club in the world.
Wow. Man. Wow. Man. Remember that? We got a dance for Lisa?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I think that was my first lap dance.
Oh.
It almost took me off forever.
Talk about being dead behind the eyes, that poor woman, by the way.
All right, let's
talk
about...
disinterested and fat and bored.
Smoking, I think.
Yes.
It was not good. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I don't hate it. I just don't like it at all. And it's terrible.
Give it a shot. We've got Adam Carolla today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Always
Celebrity Apprentices, Adam Carolla.
We have, comes back this Sunday, by the way. We have Movie Beat with Mr. Movie Phone on the program today.
Okay.
Love it.
The Amazing Race is coming back on Sunday as well. That's always a fantastic show. And the host we have in studio is Phil Kogan.
And it is in HD now, right? So Dave can quit bitching. Okay, good.
It sure is. More on Jeremy Lin, the NBA phenom.
Mm-hmm.
Playing in New York. We're going to talk to Dr. Moa about sleep disorders, and I'm going to bring you some highlights of one of my favorite shows, Swamp People. I need to introduce
Swamp
you to my
people.
Friends at Swamp People. Yeah, these are people that live in Louisiana, and they hunt alligator.
That's
what they do for a living. They hunt
alligators.
How do you make a living off of hunting alligator? What do you sell? Skins?
Everything, I guess. I guess
have you ever seen, like, even an alligator belt is super expensive.
Yeah, but alligators, to me, is not the type of animal that you want to mess with.
Definitely
you know, they're
not.
Way heavier than you, and their jaws have like 2,000 pounds of pressure. If they close them, they can crush your head.
All these people have limbs missing, right?
Yeah. I'll go shoot a bird. Look, I feel bad about it, but I'm not taking on an alligator. So anyway, Swamp People is a fantastic TV show. I got to introduce you to that. That's coming up. And we got Dr. Drew coming up in about a half hour. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat.
Starting today at noon and all weekend long here on the world-famous K-Rock, it's a nothing but 90s weekend. But oddly, the music of the 1890s, which I don't know what they're thinking there.
We're going
the roots
back
of
a little
ragtime.
Far.
Yeah, it's crazy.
We're not in charge.
So that'll be today at noon here on K-Rock. Ralph Garman returns on Tuesday, I promise. In the meantime, we'll muddle through with more showbiz news for you. I have to start with this story, Kevin. I don't know if you've seen. The rumor is that there is an Adele sex tape.
Oh!
What?
Whoa! No!
Really? No? I think she's pretty.
I do, too.
I'd give that some time.
I think she's pretty as well.
Uh-huh. Why? Oh, no, then.
Well, yeah, Kevin,
usually
why?
Usually sex tapes are a good thing.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Because, because
yes.
She's beautiful.
And?
But I'm not, listen, there are a lot of people who are much better looking with clothes on. Let's be honest. Most of us, that's true.
Yeah.
How
you take off the
you.
Clothes, you look like a fool.
How dare you?
I know you. I do.
There's a lot of talk about this singer, Adele.
Right.
Talented, but. Everybody knows she's fat, right?
That's what you're saying? Is that what's going on here?
I'm just saying, not for regular life. I think she looks fine. I thought she looked beautiful at the Grammys. But for a sex tape, maybe you need to be a little more in shape. That's all. They're two different things.
I enjoy seeing famous people have sex, and I will be delighted to see the sex tape.
Beans
by the way, before I tell you the details on this Adele sex tape, the new controversy has erupted. Have you seen this? Her picture on the cover of Vogue magazine?
No, I haven't.
Because Adele is very, as you mentioned, very outspoken about how she's happy with her size and she doesn't want to be a skinny mini, to use her words. So they put her on the cover of the new Vogue, which is just out, and they cropped it in a way that you can't really see any of her body. It's really just from her boobs up, and it's shot at an angle where you can't tell looking at that picture if she's a size 4 or a size 40.
Right.
And people now are complaining about that because, hey, you're putting her on, and she's all about fat acceptance, and you're cropping her to make her look thin, and you're bad, and you're wrong, and blah, blah,
I think
blah,
that's
blah,
fine, unless they Photoshop and digitally alter the way she looks.
Yeah, it was just a trick of the photography.
An angle.
An angle, right.
I would like that angle. Yeah. Can we take our pictures at that angle?
Every single time.
A paparazzo named Jean-Claude Elvazi wrote on his blog today that he has a sex tape of the singer Adele. This is very poorly written because it's translated from a French website, so I'm trying to make out the best I can. He says that, for instance, he says, "This is a video that should do much talking in the coming hours," which I think is the actual translation of "everybody will be talking about this video."
Sure.
He says it is from an ex-boyfriend who decided to publish it for revenge, and we should stay posted for some time today to see if this actually exists and if it's real and if it's actually going to be posted.
First of all, I don't know what that is. And second of all, no freaking way.
It's sex and it's Adele.
A few days ago, Adele tweeted, by the way, saying that she hated the paparazzi. This blogger points out that she is going to hate them even more after this video hits the internet. So we'll see.
Tom Cruise is losing control of his kids.
Really? Which kids?
Maybe his kids don't understand who Tom Cruise is and where he is and what church. Apparently, his older kids, Connor and Isabella, In Touch magazine reports that Bella has a boyfriend she's serious about but won't talk to him about.
Well, welcome to having a teenage girl.
Yeah.
But
right?
Doesn't Tom Cruise rule the world?
Tom Cruise is just dad to them.
No, but I'm saying in real life, he rules the world. What, Xenu and all that.
You think he's going to call one of the Scientology monsters to come and kidnap that boyfriend or something?
Yes!
That's
Don't
what
you?
She thinks. That's why she won't tell him.
maybe.
And his son, Connor, is now a DJ, and he plays gigs, so he doesn't need his dad's money. So basically, they're both saying, "Had a great time with you, Dad. See ya."
Well, kids grow up. Kids move on, right? I mean, if you've
in
done
most religions, that's true, Bean.
Oh, I see. All right. Well, you may know about that more about that than I do. I wasn't aware that was a problem. Here's your obligatory Just for Lisa May Kate Upton story of the day.
Oh, dear God.
Fantastic. There's always got to be one.
As you know, is the Sports Illustrated 2012 swimsuit issue model. And by the way, Dave, alleged producer Dave, got an email from a listener. Let's see if I can find it, who said that Kate Upton was on a local Phoenix television show yesterday, a local Phoenix morning television show as a guest.
Well,
not an ABC or a CBS. One of the independent TV stations in Phoenix had Kate Upton on their show. Where's Kate Upton on the Kevin and Bean show is my question to you guys.
Maybe they've heard our show.
Hmm.
This is Ryan who writes in from Phoenix. Thank you very much. Kate Upton was on my low-rent local news. I turned on local news here this morning in Phoenix. They mentioned that Kate was going to be there in studio with them later in the show. This wasn't any local newscast, not NBC or ABC, none of the big stations. A low-rent, locally-owned news that's not affiliated. They shouldn't be able to pull in the dog catcher. Somehow they managed to get the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. I say you fire Dave immediately for being one-upped by the crappy local news in Phoenix of all places. Sorry to have to rub it in, but I've been trained by years of listening to the show that that's exactly what you're supposed to do, Ryan. So.
Not my fault.
Anyway, so Kate Upton is in the news because I did not know this, but her uncle is a congressman, Fred Upton, a Republican representative from Michigan's 6th Congressional District. And he says that he has been the butt of a lot of jokes since the magazine hit the newsstand with his niece.
That's awesome.
He is the chairman of the House Energy and Commerce Committee, says it has been fun to watch Kate grow up. She is only 19, but we are all proud of her. Well, we are proud of her as well.
She's grown up quite well.
Yes.
And your family did nice work with that, so well done.
Celebrity birthdays, there's a whole slew of them today. This is a ridiculous day for birthdays. If you were born today, you share your birthday with Rene Russo, who's 58.
Nice.
Actor Lou Diamond Phillips is 50. Mm-hmm. Basketball Hall of Famer Michael Jordan is 49. Producer and director Michael Bay is 47. Hockey Hall of Fame Luke Robitaille, one of the best people I've ever met, is 46 years old. Guitarist Tim Mahoney of 311 is 42. Dominic Purcell of Prison Break is 42. Actress Denise Richards is 41.
Wow, this is ridiculous.
Singer, guitarist Billy Joe Armstrong of Green Day is 40. Jerry O'Connell is 38. Jason Ritter has a birthday. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is 31. Paris Hilton, Cord Overstreet. But the reason we celebrate today, of all days, comedian, in quotes, Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah!
He's 49 years old, and that's the show. You know, you'll see a song like this, and you think, that's so easy. How could I have not written that?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
but you don't have a xylophone.
It's not that complex or anything. It's just somebody that I used to get. How come I couldn't do that? But I couldn't. It's the world-famous K-Rock at 626. This is Kevin and Bean Show.
Yesterday on the program, we were telling you about a sleep sickness that a woman in, where was she? Britain, I think, has, where she does nothing but eat junk food and have random sex while she's under and doesn't remember any of it. It's a syndrome that has
perfect woman
that has a name, and we're going to talk to our friend Dr. Mo about that coming up here in a couple of minutes. First, though, I really wanted to talk about the suspension of John and Ken, the afternoon guys over on KFI AM 640 in Los Angeles. I really wanted to talk about that because, and we've mentioned this before on our show too, Kevin. There's going to come a point where people are going to wake up, and it's very important that Kevin and Bean fans hear this. You're going to wake up one day, and we're going to be gone. And if you're lucky, you'll find out why. If you're not lucky,
most
you may never
not.
Know.
Yeah, most
right.
likely
probably not.
Not.
Yeah,
because we live in an era now where all it takes is a couple of people to complain. Sometimes only one person to complain, and you get suspended, and you're off the air, and you are docked without pay, and in some cases, you are fired just because somebody is offended by what you say. And I can't get my head around how fast that has changed in this country, where all of a sudden the people who are offended now wield all the power and they get to make all the decisions, and corporations are so afraid of what they might do or that somebody might not like them that they fire the people that they've hired to put on good radio shows.
And we're not even talking about like stepping over FCC rules.
Right, exactly. We're just talking about somebody's offended. It used to be, hey, then don't listen. And now it's, oh my God, I'm so sorry you're offended. Please let me suspend the person that said something that you didn't like.
Oh, that's not enough. Okay, we'll fire them.
Right, exactly.
That's
so here's a reporter for KNBC Channel 4. This is from last night's 11 o'clock news, standing out in front. Well, it's a Whitney Houston-related story, so he's standing out in front of a memorial that people have set up flowers and candles in Beverly Hills, although that has nothing to do with the story. But let's find out what's going on with John and Ken.
Carlene, Whitney Houston's death last Saturday has sparked an outpouring of emotion from her fans, as evidenced by this memorial here in Beverly Hills. It's also prompted comments, some combative, some offensive. Fallout from the latter has left two local talkers silent.
By the way, I love the way he said some offensive.
Offensive.
Let's find out what the offensive remarks were.
Part of the shtick of KFI's John and Ken is to be shocking, but the afternoon drive time talkers apparently went too far in their caustic description of pop singer Whitney Houston's drug-related demise.
Here comes the crack again. What's she gonna do? Oh, look at that. She's doing handstands next to the pool. Very good crack.
That rhetoric hit a nerve with some watchdog groups.
They called her a crack hoe. That's what they did. In case you're wondering why they've been suspended for 2 weeks, they called her a crack hoe.
Which What's she a, is clearly oh. not.
Are these watchdog
right,
groups?
Look,
right,
I'm not
Bean,
calling,
right?
I'm not calling right? her a crack hoe.
What she's I'm not is, a crack hoe is what I'm saying.
No, she's a corpse is what she is. But listen, the woman was on crack for a long time. If you call, and she's been in and out of rehab multiple times, including as recently as May of last year. She's had a long-term, 20-year fight with hard drugs, okay? When somebody calls you a cracko, what they're saying is you have a problem with hard drugs. That's what they're saying. You are addicted to drugs, and it is ruining your life. That's what a cracko is. Am I wrong about that?
Well, I don't think they actually meant that she was a whore. If
no,
that's
and
what
they
you're
didn't
saying.
Say she was a whore. Right. They didn't say she was a prostitute. They had nothing to do with sex or selling your body or anything like that. The term crack hoe means you're generally a woman who has a problem with hard drugs.
Correct.
Is that a
yes.
crazy, unrealistic thing for them to have
so
said?
Who's
is
that, the group that
is that
complained?
So offensive? There's some sort of, well, there are multiple people involved, but this representative I think we're going to hear from is from some national Hispanic coalition or something, because clearly they're picking on her because she's a person of color, according to them.
It is vulgar. It is downright ugly. There is no place for something like this on our airwaves.
There's no place for something like this on our airwaves. Who wants to live in a world where this turd of a guy gets to decide what there's a place for on the radio?
Wow. See, that's the problem, and we see it coming, and it is coming our way. Don't
It is absolutely
Don't kid yourself.
Our way.
It could happen today just because we're talking about
because
it.
Because what happens is that guy decides he doesn't want that on the air. Okay, so yes. What used to happen 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago is the company would say, feel free to change the channel.
Absolutely.
If you
Which
don't like
completely
them.
Completely reasonable.
Then don't listen. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. And let the marketplace decide whether people have an appetite for that kind of humor or not.
Right.
Say to this guy, oh, you're offended that they called Whitney Houston a cracko? Maybe this isn't the show for you. Right?
You want to bet that guy wasn't listening to the show either.
Was, of course he
someone
wasn't.
Told
Guaranteed
him.
He wasn't.
That's how this always happens. It's someone tells someone, and then they are offended by infection.
Exactly. All right, yeah. There's more.
KFI management declined to be interviewed, but in a statement said John Cobalt and Ken Champeau have been suspended for making insensitive and inappropriate comments. Other high-profile figures have also weighed in on Houston's death. On the Today Show, Matt Lauer and Fox host Bill O'Reilly mixed it up over the issue of how the mainstream media covers celebrities and drug addiction.
And by the way, I'm a fan of Bill O'Reilly, and I've never been more of a fan than I am when I hear what he has to say here.
Are journalists supposed to be in the position of conducting interventions? They're supposed to be in the business of telling the truth, and the truth is, if you get into hard drugs, you can go any time.
In a statement, John Cobalt admitted, quote, "We made a mistake." The pair say they, quote, apologize to our listeners and the family of Miss Houston.
Oh, I wish they didn't apologize.
Oh, they made them.
I wish they'd have come out and said, hey, Whitney Houston is a crack hoe. I wish that's what they would have said. Yeah, you know what? That's what she is.
But that's the only way they could have kept their job. Yeah. And I'm not saying that's what she is, by the way. That's a ridiculous statement. This is Kevin, and I think that's ridiculous. Look, here's the thing. What they said could be 100% distasteful.
Correct.
She did pass away, so maybe you don't hammer too hard on the drug thing.
I'm not arguing it's not insensitive.
Right.
It is insensitive. You know what it's not is offensive.
But what I'm saying is it might even have been offensive to that one guy.
Oh, well. Uh-huh.
Okay. That happens. But if you run your business by not offending one guy, everything is gone. All the edges are taken off. You're going to get nothing but Ryan Seacrest.
Right.
Exactly.
And then
exactly.
Everybody's going to go, hey, what happened to everything that was entertaining?
Right. Yep, exactly.
And the company started caving to one person who was upset by something.
A little bit more again from the report from Channel 4 News last night.
That apology has done little to soothe feelings of fans at the Beverly Hills Memorial.
Okay, so now they're going to interview people who are losers enough to be standing around at 11 o'clock at night.
I don't think they're losers. I think they're paying tribute.
Yeah. These are the people. Let's go up to these people who are taking their time to mourn Whitney Houston and, you know, at the where the flowers and candles are, and let's find out what they think about her being called a crack hoe. I wonder what their response is going to be. Are they going to be down with it?
As a nurse working in the chemical addiction field, I find it very offensive.
Citing a history of offensive comments targeting communities of color, Alex Nogales of the National Hispanic Media Coalition is calling for their 2-week suspension to be permanent.
I agree. They should be fired. They should not be allowed to ever be on the radio because they said something that was offensive to one person about a person of color. So let's not let them on the radio. Listen to this guy.
These guys have got to go.
They got to go.
And Alex Nogales says his coalition plans to boycott not just KFI, but all 8 locally owned stations by Clear Channel Radio until John and Ken are fired.
So now he doesn't want anybody to listen to any of the stations. Don't listen to Kiss FM. Don't listen to any of them. This is how it works. Yes,
this is how they get their power.
Right,
is that they try and get people to stop listening, and but it's more than that. They get people to stop advertising, and that's where it starts hitting the company. The company says, "F you, you're gone."
But I can't believe how far down the line has gone to what was being offensive. They didn't get on the radio and say, "Hey, shoot the president." They got on the radio and said that somebody who had a hard drug problem was a crack hoe. That's what they said,
which is insensitive considering the timing.
Yeah, I agree.
Totally.
Okay. I agree. Suspended and now being called to be fired for that, though? What's happening here, people?
All we want to say is you don't want the hiring and firing of companies in those guys' hands.
No, you sure don't.
Because it scares us personally.
Good luck. Good luck, John and Ken. We're going to be with you soon, I suspect. Phil Kogan from The Amazing Race joins us later on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Adam Carolla talks about this weekend's Celebrity Apprentice. That's coming up. And also, I just want Beer Mug to just let his hair go and just be bald, because chicks dig bald guys. We're going to talk about that coming up in about 20 minutes. But he's fighting back. He's fighting back trying to keep the hair.
Oh, yeah.
The hair is trying to jump off. He's trying to keep it. I say let the hair go.
I'm saying I'm not coming to you for what girls want.
Well, maybe you're right about that.
That's what I'm saying.
First, there our old friend Dr. Mo, who's an actual doctor with the Providence Little Company of Mary in San Pedro, chief of surgery down there. Dr. Mo, thank you for joining us, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Very good, thank
Hello.
You.
Hello.
How many surgeries?
The malaria is good. Thank you.
How many surgeries do you do in a day, Dr. Mo? Because you told me a little bit of what your day was like yesterday, and it just sounds like too much for one human.
Well, yesterday was a good day.
A good day. So you're happy when you're in surgery all day long?
Hey, a chance to cut is a chance to cure, man.
Because I always feel like if I'm the last patient, I want the new guy coming on. You know what I mean? I don't want to be your eighth.
No, man, by that time I've practiced, I'm ready for you.
All right. But, I mean, isn't it so weird? I mean, how do you even get the headspace right to go from taking out an appendix and then run over to the next room and take out somebody's hernia in their groin? I mean, don't you have to think about that stuff?
It's a privilege, man. I mean, being totally serious, it is really an amazing thing to do.
Okay. Well, if you say so. Here's why we wanted to have Dr. Mo on. Yesterday, early in the show, we were talking about a sleep disorder called Klein-Levin syndrome. And we've talked about people who sleepwalk and sleep text and sleep eat and sometimes even sleep drive and sleep sex. I mean, we've talked about all of those
things. We talked about it with Ambien as well.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's one of the side effects or whatever. But just normal sleepwalking, too.
But this KLN, this Klein-Levin syndrome, is something I had never heard of before. But there was a girl in England, I think it was, who was doing all sorts of crazy stuff in her sleep. And I'd never heard of this before, Dr. Mo. Is it a real thing?
Not only is it a real thing. I mean, I'm just a surgeon. But you guys get me to research these things. And this one actually, you know, you've got me to do the tapeworms and the malaria and the coeludes. This one's pretty freaking rare and interesting.
We bring you all the good stuff, Dr. Mo.
No, kidding. Well, this Klein-Levin syndrome. It's also called the Sleeping Beauty Syndrome.
Okay.
And this is one of these really rare, weird neurological sleep disorders that's been pretty well documented. It's just not that often. Now, I heard what you guys said yesterday, and I got the little things you emailed me.
Recap, so that people who didn't hear that couldn't get it.
Well, the story you guys talked about yesterday was that young teenager who went through these things where her family would make comments that she kind of changes, and she gets more irritable and more angry, and she gets very, very sleepy and will fall asleep for 15, 20 hours at a time and then gets almost hypersexual, that has this random uninhibited sex. And then, days to weeks to months later, she kind of wakes up and doesn't remember any of it.
Days to weeks to months?
Yeah.
It could be months?
Oh, my gosh.
In fact, one of the cases I read about, it's over a year. Now, here's the weird thing.
What's her address?
Yeah, it doesn't sound as good as you think.
Okay.
You're just taking the good parts out.
All right.
First of all, this only happens mostly happens in males. It's 70% an adolescent male thing.
Okay.
But it's almost all adolescents, which makes it kind of strange. Now, these kids kind of sleep 15 to 20 hours a day. And like I said, these episodes where they're acting different can last a significant amount of time. Now, they can come on at the drop of a hat. And usually it follows this, like, flu-like symptoms. Their parents will say, you know, they weren't feeling good, they were getting a little sick, and then I don't even know this person.
That's weird.
It's very weird.
Is there any treatment for something like this, Dr. Mo?
No. They've tried, like, uppers and amphetamines and stuff to help them with the sleep thing, but that only works about 40% of the time.
They tried meth?
I guess so. Okay. I don't know. I mean, it's like they're throwing everything at
it. Do you grow out of it?
Actually, yeah. Over a period of 8 to 12 years, the episodes, like, decrease in frequency.
8 to 12 years? That's forever.
Well, if you think about it, if you start having it as when you're, like, a teenager and an adolescent, by your mid-20s, it's gone in 90% of the time.
But that sounds like a lifetime to me.
It must be. I mean, if you just think about these poor kids.
14, 15 to 24, 25 is forever.
Yeah, that's the better part of your young life, sir. Do they take these people and just lock them in their bedroom so they can't get out and hurt themselves or something when they're in a spell?
Well, it's not like they're sleepwalking and they run into walls. It's like the people around them are looking at these people going, you know, and they eat like crazy. They have this thing called megaphagia or hyperphagia where they just literally can't get enough to eat. They get hallucinations. I mean, it's almost like this psychological disorder as well that, you know, you can imagine these family members. And you know, a lot of people have problems with their teenagers to begin with. That's
sure.
A different thing. This
Everything you've described sounds like a typical weekend for Kevin in Las Vegas. Can't eat enough.
How dare
no,
you?
You know, no sleep, random sex. It's just crazy.
How dare you,
cranky.
Sir?
Yeah, right. So we can change it to the Klein-Kevin syndrome.
I'm not cranky in Vegas. I'll just say that.
So it's a real thing. Because when I saw this, especially seeing that this original story about this woman we reported on came from the Daily Mail, which is a paper of questionable journalistic ethics, I thought, yeah, maybe they're blowing this out of proportion. But you're saying you've seen the research and there are lots, not lots, but there are a significant number of people enough that it's an actual real thing that happens.
Yeah, I was able to find, like, the most current studies that were just printed like at the beginning of 2012, and they found some of these kids and did an MRI where they could watch their brain work.
Right.
The interesting part is the thalamus, which is the central part of your brain, starts working too much, and the frontal part starts working less. And the reason that's interesting is the thalamus controls your sleep.
Ah.
And the front part is the part that sort of controls your inhibition. So if you start losing that, you start losing your inhibition.
That makes
sense. Kind of making sense, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I got to get this. I think this sounds like something that would really shake up my life a little bit. I think I need this.
Can you get it? Is there a way to get it, Dr. Moore? What should Bean do? Should he kiss someone? Should he rub his hands on a door? What?
Oh, I can't help you there.
All right.
All right. Dr. Mo, you are the best, man. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll talk to you again soon here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
See you later.
Filling in for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat this hour. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome DJ Omar Khan.
Yeah, yeah. What's happening, everyone? TGIFF.
Am I right? I hear that.
Yes, you're right.
Oh, my God. Did you guys hear about Whitney Houston?
What happened to her?
She died. Did you guys not hear that?
This is why we don't have Omar do show business.
It is crazy. I guess the funeral is going to be tomorrow, and the family finally decided to invite Bobby Brown to the funeral. Oh. They thought that it was going to be, you know, keep it a little bit copacetic. Mm-hmm. You know, they have daughters with Whitney, so they're going to have that. But Bobby Brown is going to perform a concert just hours after the funeral at an Indian casino.
What?
I know. My question is, who the hell in 2012 is seeing Bobby Brown? Really?
I think it's New Edition. I think he's part of a New Edition tour that's going
who
on.
Who the hell in 2012 is seeing New Edition? Really? Are you kidding?
More I don't people know. Than just Bobby Brown, but for sure, that's a bizarre day.
Isn't that weird?
How can he, I mean, look, he performed the day she died, Saturday. He found out Saturday afternoon she had died. Now, granted, they had been divorced for a number of years, but still, you'd think, you know, hey, it would be a pretty big blow to lose her, and she's the mother of your daughter.
Yeah,
and
plus your daughter. You got to think about her. Yeah.
And he went on stage that night and performed. And now he's the night of the funeral. I don't know how he's able to compartmentalize
I think
like
when
that.
It comes down to it, he's got to make that squilla. You know, he's got to make that cash. He's got to get paid, man.
It's a good point.
Got
to
buy that crack.
Have to break it to Johnny Gill that they're going to have to cancel the show because he's too upset.
Absolutely. Nick Cannon is suffering from blood clots in his lungs and enlarged ventricles in his heart.
Whoa.
Couldn't happen to a better person.
Isn't that
so
weird?
Happy.
Reportedly, so nobody cares.
Why does everybody hate Nick Cannon?
I don't know. That guy's a
douchebag. Because we've seen him on TV.
He's
that's
so
why.
Untalented at everything he does. He blows.
Yeah, I guess he's not good.
Kevin, you saw him on the quote-unquote red carpet at the Super Bowl. The guy's a zero. The guy deserves blood clots.
There's no personality up there.
Nobody deserves blood clots.
No. Bean's right.
No,
if there's one guy that deserves blood clots, it's Nick Cannon.
If we had to take a vote, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Snooki's in the news. She says she might be slowing down at the age of 24.
Well, she's getting old.
She tells In Touch Weekly that she'll be marrying boyfriend Gianni Lavelle.
Nope.
But she isn't quite sure when it's going to happen. She's patiently waiting for him to pop the question. Let me tell you, it's not going to happen, Snooki. Who's going to marry that?
You know, she's going to have to... Sorry. She's going to have to more than patiently wait, I think.
Absolutely, absolutely. She's going to be getting merp by herself forever. Oxygen Network, that's Oprah's, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, no. She's the
owned.
OWN. Oh, she's owned? I thought she owns like two. Oxygen is hers too, isn't it?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
It's just kind of a women's network.
Okay. Well, women blow then, apparently, because...
I hope.
If you're lucky.
They have this new show. It's going to be called Thrift Wars.
Thrift? Does everything have to be a war?
Yeah, I know.
There's a lot
storage
of stupid
wars,
shows
parking
on.
Wars. Have you guys checked out Shipping Wars, by the way?
No.
It's them shipping stuff across the country.
Nope.
That's the entire show.
Okay, well then men blow too, because those are men's shows.
That's true.
I guess we do.
Yep. So, but what's this one?
Thrift Wars.
Thrift Wars. You can find fabulous stuff in thrift stores.
That's exactly what it is,
sometimes
Lisa.
You can.
You're going to follow around people scouring thrift stores for clothes.
I'm not going to follow
that
around.
That is a show, and it's happening.
I'm too busy with swap people.
Yeah. That I could get behind,
those
for sure.
Are my peeps.
You cannot understand anybody on those shows. Everybody's
they
like,
subtitle everyone.
No, crocodile. It's insane. I love it. It's awesome.
They have to subtitle every character.
TMZ yesterday had Charlie Sheen on talking about Ashton Kutcher, and he actually told us how he really feels.
I'm tired of pretending like the show doesn't suck. I'm tired of pretending like Ashton doesn't suck. I'm tired of pretending like, you know, they're not completely adrift. Because when you take away the anchor from your show, which they stupidly did, there's just nothing about it that's fresh or interesting. Or it's like, I mean, I forget that it's on the air.
Let me tell you something, Charlie Sheen. That's exactly how I felt when you were on it. Okay? What a douchebag.
This is a return to old Charlie Sheen. I thought he was past all this slinging mud for no reason, picking fights.
I thought the exact same thing, but isn't his effect show coming up soon?
I think. Yes. Yeah. I think that's why he's being interviewed. He's doing promotion for his new show.
Exactly. I think he's going to turn up the, you know, Charlie Sheen machine, the crazy machine, and get a bunch of press for his
publicity.
Show. Absolutely. Absolutely. Valentine's Day was this past Tuesday.
And what? Yes.
And Jada Pinkett Smith. Jada Pinkett Smith, super annoying as hell, dedicated and recorded a song to Will Smith, her hubby. And check this out. It's terrible. It's called Burn. Let me kiss you with a mouthful of moon. Wait, she wants to kiss him with a mouthful of moon.
What?
Yeah.
What is this for? This for Valentine's Day?
Yeah, she dedicated the song to Will Smith.
Is this her way of squashing the rumors that they are separated and going to get a divorce? Is that what she's trying to do?
I didn't even think of that. Yeah, maybe.
Weird way to go about it.
But it's terrible.
Good, but
it's not
she
good.
She can sing.
But
oh, she
could
sing like I could sing.
No, she could sing.
No.
Nobody's that bad.
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't know. That's enough.
You.
That blows.
She could have just given him a card.
Yeah. I'm wondering if she was whipping her hair back and forth when she was singing it.
Could have been.
Celebrity birthdays today. Oh, my God. The list goes on and on and on. Actress Renee Russo, 58. Lou Diamond Phillips, 50. Get her done. Larry the Cable Guy is 49. Some dude named Michael Jordan's 49. Michael Bay, 47. Kevin's butt buddy, Luke Robitaille, 46.
How dare you?
I was at a King's party that I DJed. I've never seen Kevin so giddy when Luke Robitaille came on stage. He's like, Luke's here. You got to cut the music. I was like, what the heck, Kevin?
I'd never seen him so nervous.
It was crazy.
Don't we have some tape, Omar? You might remember this, of one time that we had Luke on our show where Kevin just like totally little girled out with him. He's like, yeah,
totally.
Oh, hi.
It's awesome. I'm like, really, Kevin? What's going on? Denise Richards, 41. We got Billy Joe Armstrong of Green Day, 40. Jerry O'Connell's 38. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is 31. And Paris Hilton is an ugly, ugly, ugly 31. That's the Roth Showbiz Beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's 9 minutes after 7 o'clock. This is the week of having in guests that make us feel dumb, because Eddie Izzard was on the show earlier today. Penn Jillette was on the show yesterday. Now Phil Kogan is coming up next hour from the Amazing Race. He's the host of that show, coming back to CBS this Sunday. All these guys are so much better than we are.
Right, but that's why we always talk to Beer Mug.
Exactly. That does level the playing field a little bit.
I'm standing right here, you guys.
Makes us feel better.
Now, tell me if I'm wrong about this. At least I want your opinion, but I also especially want to hear from ladies who are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here today, because Kevin's right. I may not be the guy to tell people what girls think.
Okay.
But we found out that Beer Mug this week, and we didn't want to talk about it on the radio, but he insisted, is using Propecia. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Beer Mug is using Propecia for his hair. And I didn't know anything about Propecia. I guess I've heard the word, but it's what? It's a pill or a topical? What is it?
It's a pill that you take every day to keep your hair from falling out.
Do you take it? What's going on?
No, I got a friend who did for a while but stopped.
Okay. So Beer Mug is taking this, and I says to Beer Mug, I says, Mugs, first of all, you losing your hair is the least of your problems, okay? First of all.
But this second is how of all, supportive we are.
But second of all, don't be one of these guys who spends all this time and all this money and fights losing his hair, because my understanding is that girls don't really care about that. And when we've had this conversation on the air before, when we've talked to women, they've said, I'd rather a guy was confident and didn't care about his hair and just let it do what it was going to do naturally and made the most of that, rather than put up a years-long fight to keep every strand of hair on his head.
Normally, I'd say fine, Bean. Normally, I'd say, okay, cool.
You shouldn't, because it's coming from Bean. You should always double-check his
hair. Who has a lot of hair?
I see where he's coming from. There are good-looking guys who could pull off the bald look.
Correct.
I am convinced that I am not one of those guys.
I am convinced of that as well.
Yeah.
That's why I find this funny. Go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com. You can see I photoshopped what he would look like. You know, here's a guy, Jason Statham.
Yeah, I am not Jason Statham.
He's letting the hair just go.
He's not beautiful. beautiful.
Okay.
I mean,
so
come
I gave
on.
Jason Statham's head
yeah.
to Beer Mug.
Okay. Okay.
You can see what Beer Mug would look like if he just let his hair go like Jason Statham.
It does not work.
Well, it's not. I wouldn't say it's as good.
No.
But you could leave some comments there if you'd like, or you could call us and let us know. We think just Bean thinks just let it go. I think that guys like Beer Mug and myself and other people, really you need every advantage you can get.
And
I really think
we have to remember Beer Mug's age, which is hard because he looks older.
He looks 60 and he's only 28.
So he's going to be dating women that are a few years younger than him, generally speaking. And for them, I think unless you are like a super confident, right. really hunky guy, that might be difficult.
Yeah, if I was Vin Diesel,
yeah,
I'd be able to do it.
You know what you're not?
Vin Diesel.
Correct.
Exactly.
1-800-520-1067. Girls, we want to hear from you if the just let it go, as Bean says. Just let the hair go. If it wants to go, let it go wherever it wants to go, but be confident.
I have found a solution to beat my crappy genetics. My mom's dad was bald, my dad's bald, and my dad's dad was bald. There's no way in hell that I'm not going to be bald.
Okay, right? So why not accept that if you know that?
Because I'm not.
I'm not saying I would either.
He wants to be age appropriately.
Exactly. And I'm not Bruce Willis, for instance. And all these guys. I didn't mean to say. Tyrese. Yeah. I'm not these guys that could pull off the bald look. And I'm.
How about a hair piece?
No.
Yeah. Oh God.
We would spend every single moment taking it off.
Yeah. But I'm glad you brought that up, Kevin, because this is maybe, and again, the phone number is 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear from the ladies what they think about how important a guy's hair is to the overall look, or if they should just stop fighting it with things like toupees, with things like comb overs, with things like propecia. Stop fighting it and just let your hair do what it's going to do and not make that the centerpiece of your personality.
Well, a comb over is just a terrible
That's
idea.
The worst, right?
Yeah.
That's
the
bottom.
Shave it off.
That's the bottom rung.
See, my pops rocks a comb over.
And does he rock it?
He does. He does very well, but I will never be able to do that. I will never be able. I mean, the amount of time the guy puts into doing the comb over every morning is ridiculous. I don't want to do that. I want to get up.
Aren't you afraid of a strong wind?
Exactly. Exactly.
Swimming?
Exactly.
Yeah, everything?
He doesn't go swimming because of that.
Yeah.
Here's a comment from the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. And if you don't have time or can't get through to comment on the air, you can always go there. Yesenia, who sounds hot, by the way, says, as much as I love running my fingers through someone's hair, I don't mind a bald head either. I like rubbing the smoothness. So it sounds to me like she's fine either way.
Look, Yesenia, my ass is smooth. You can rub that. Okay?
No, it isn't.
Right. Have you seen it?
As far as we hear, you've got the ball fro.
Let's get started, and I'm sure I'm going to massacre this, but Naiva joins us on line two. Is that right, Naiva? Naiva?
Yes.
Naiva? What is it?
Naiva.
It's okay, Naiva. Very good. Thank you very much for calling. Beer Mug is going to go bald, but he is going down fighting. What do you think?
Well, I saw his picture, and I see a lot of guys who fit his description with the bald look. Mm-hmm. So all I have to say is if he resorts to, say, fake hair, don't do it. Might as well have no hair at all.
Okay, yeah, so no toupee. That's the bottom rung, right?
Yeah.
If you get the toupee, that's a bad idea.
Yeah. See, for guys with fake boobs on a girl, that's okay. But girls faking on a guy, that's in my opinion, not okay.
All right. And then, what's at the top? Is the top keep your hair?
The top?
Yeah,
I mean,
propecia? The
top of the rug. The one that you like the best is guys with hair.
Yeah.
And then
I mean,
secondly,
I'm still pretty young.
Okay, so secondly, you would say the propecia thing is better than going bald and then getting a piece. Okay.
So still use the propecia.
Well, you know what? Yeah, it's true. Young girls have the whole hair thing because it's like youth. It's vitality. As they get older, they don't care so much. They just go with whatever works.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate that. You know, but I mean, like our friend Bald Brad, by the way, I don't know how old Brad is. In fact, it's tougher to tell how old somebody is when they're bald because you don't have hairline and hair color to go by. Doesn't he look fantastic as a bald guy? I can't even imagine him with hair.
Do you want to date him? Or?
No, I'm just saying, Beer Mug, you don't know what you would look like as a bald guy or a guy with little hair.
I kind of do, Bean. I've
look
shaved.
At the photo.
Look at the photo.
I put it up.
You get a good idea. And I've shaved my head before. I've actually even bicked my head just, you know, for S and giggles, but I don't want to be bald. I don't want
to. You're going to be bald, though, is what I'm telling you.
I know, but you don't want to be a lot of things you are.
That's true. Kevin got me there.
Here's all my suggestion for you, and I'm just looking at the picture again at krock.com.
Yeah.
I think you should worry about the bloodshot high eyes.
Before the hair?
Before you worry about the hair. Okay. And we'll take your calls when we.
Well, we got a wide range of opinions coming in from the ladies on this topic. Beer Mug is losing his hair. He is going to go down fighting, though. He's taken Propecia, and before long, he'll have a toupee on top of his comb owner. He's going to do everything he can to keep hair as long as he can. And we're taking your calls, ladies, to find out if he's making the right move there or if he should just let his hair go and not make a big deal about it. Listen to this from, granted, he's not a woman, but Frank writes in. Tell Beer Mug to just shave it off. I was one who was trying to save my hair back when I was 34 years old. For the past 10 years, I've been shaving my head, and the women love it more. I never thought it would make such a difference in my life. Grow some balls and just shave it. You guys rock. Longtime listener Frank is what he says.
Okay. I photoshopped Jason Statham's hair onto Beer Mug's head, and it's a picture of the day today. So you can go to Carrick.com and look at what it would look like if Beer Mug let his hair go and it turned out like Jason Statham. And it works for Jason Statham.
Yeah. Not Beer Mug.
It doesn't. Beer Mug's going to look like Jason Alexander.
Yes, that's an excellent point, Lisa.
Yeah, but, and that's not good.
But he didn't. He's not wearing a toupee and all that.
No, and he looks like Jason Alexander.
Yeah. But he will. Yeah. Let's try Maria. She's going through this right now. She's got a fiance who is balding. Let's find out what she thinks about it. Maria is on line 5, and she joins us on the Kevin and Beecher. Hi, Maria.
Hi, guys. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
So, what's going on with you and your boy?
My fiance is a year younger than Beer Mug. He's 27, and he's been going bald for at least the last 2 or 3 years.
Okay,
and
that's rough.
I'm fine with it. It's not a big deal. I actually read somewhere. So, Mugs, if you're listening, I read somewhere that hair loss is linked to excessive testosterone in system.
All right.
So it's actually a good thing. The more your hair grows, that means that you just have excessive testosterone.
We're just more of a man.
Where did you read that on the internet?
No,
I bet a bald guy wrote it. I'll tell you that.
A bald guy did write that.
All right. Well, good. I'm glad that it worked out. It sounds like your fiance got lucky and got the one woman who doesn't care if he goes bald, apparently, according to our callers today. Thank you very much.
What about Dara, though, Bean? What about her?
All right. Let's go to Dara.
Dara, hi.
Hi.
What do you think about the issue of the men going bald?
I love it.
Love it?
My boyfriend is bald, and I love it. And the feel of it, everything.
Did your boyfriend ever have hair, or was he bald when you met him?
He was bald when I met him. He had hair when he was younger, but ever since I've known him, he's been bald, and I just love it.
All right.
Okay, how old is he? Because I think that we're determining that is a factor. People seem to be okay with it if the guy's 40, but maybe not at Beer Mug's age 28.
Okay, well, he is 40 now, but I know that he started shaving it completely bald when he was in his early 30s, maybe late 20s.
All right. But Beer Mug is 28, but looks 40.
Well, the thing is, I'm 26, so it's like, who cares? You can get a younger girl.
Okay. Wow, 40-year-old bald dude gets a hot 26-year-old Dara. Nice job.
Well, it sounds like all the girls that love the bald men are taken, though. Mug,
thank you for the call. Yeah. By the way, for folks who haven't seen Mug, and A, you should go to krock.com and look at Kevin's Photoshop picture. That'll give you a good idea. But B, if you don't have time to do that, picture Paul Giamatti after the flu. That's what Beer Mug looks like.
Wow.
Oh,
Alicia
God.
Writes in on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, don't try and change the inevitable. You'll also find out, Beer Mug, that you'll be spending more and more money trying to keep your hair. You won't be able to afford beer anymore. Just shave it.
Good
let
point.
It go.
Sure.
Women don't really care, is what Alicia says anyway. All right, let's go to Sam, who is a woman on line 2, find out if she agrees. Hi, Sam. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi.
What do you think? Yeah, turn down your radio, please. It'll screw you up.
Okay, I turned it off.
Okay, now, what do you think? Beer Mug should just let it go bald or do everything he can to save it?
I think you should do everything you can to save it.
Save it, Sam.
Save the hair.
Save the hair.
Exactly. Because you know what? Sam is right. The first
thing. You need to mulch your head every day.
The first thing a girl notices about a guy is her hair. Whether it's if you're graying or you're balding, they'll mention it to you. Oh, you're balding. Or, oh, you're graying. And that's the kind of
the first thing every girl you meet says to you?
Pretty much.
That's odd.
Sam, is the first thing you notice about a guy his hair?
Exactly. Long, luscious hair. I would keep the hair because nobody wants a grandpa that's bald.
Right. Okay.
All right.
He's not a grandpa. He looks like one.
He looks like one.
He soon will be.
I'm not sure how that'll work technically.
How threatening that sounded coming from Sam. All right. Thank you for the call. Sounds like you're screwed, Beer Mug. Sorry.
Yeah.
I've had enough with all the solo records. I'm pretty much ready for the Killers to just get back together and make another Killers album, to be honest.
I hear you.
Love that band so much. And another band I really am enjoying lately is this new band called Fun, period. Their song We Are Young coming up next year on the Kevin and Bean Show. Phil Kogan from The Amazing Race joins us in about 20 minutes. Right now, though, we have to talk about something called Linsanity.
The hottest player in the NBA. His name is Jeremy Lin. And judging from the fan reaction, the city has succumbed to something that's being called Linsanity.
Wendy, a week and a half ago, few had even heard of him. Tonight, he's selling out the stadium.
Jeremy Lin, suddenly the hottest scorer in the league.
You've been called Lin-derella. Do you think this is a fairy tale?
Lin with a sweet move.
Tonight is only Lin's sixth NBA game. He was never drafted, never even got a scholarship to play college ball. Until recently, he was sleeping on his brother's couch, waiting for another shot in the pros. The New York Knicks gave him a chance. He's been lighting up the scoreboard ever since.
So we're very excited for the first time to welcome number 17 from the New York Knicks, Jeremy Lin, is on the phone. Jeremy?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you this morning?
we're good. Looking for Jeremy Lin, not Nicolas Cage. Is he there, please?
This is Jeremy Lin, graduate of Harvard University.
Oh, that's what it is. It's the Harvard accent coming out.
Usually, because when you do press conferences, you usually talk pretty street.
For the common simpleton, I have to dumb things down a bit.
I see.
Yeah, because you're pretty smart.
But I'm at home right here. I'm listening to some Beethoven, enjoying a nice glass of Pinot Noir.
Sounds delicious.
Congratulations, by the way. Speaking of where you're living, I understand you're in one of the Trump Towers now. You're not sleeping on your brother's couch anymore. You actually got yourself a place in New York where you can call your own.
It is amazing, the things that have happened to me in the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It is incredible.
Yes, okay.
I must tell you.
Yeah. I understand that that's popular. If you go to the New York Knicks homepage right now, it's big letters, Linsanity. But we don't really need to hear all those kinds of puns. We just want to talk about some basketball here, Jeremy.
Let's do it. Let's talk about basketball. But I must tell you, Kevin and Bean, that basketball, for me, it's a simple, simple game. I mean, the concept is you take a round ball and you throw it to the hoop.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm very, very successful in many other areas rather than just basketball.
Oh, so you want to talk about what other areas you're successful?
Well, I was a huge champion of Operation. Have you heard of that game?
Yeah, where you try to remove something without hitting the side and making the buzzer go off?
Absolutely.
Right.
I have championships in 2002,
okay.
2003,
that's less,
and 2004.
None of this is
would
as
you
exciting.
Like me to play a game for you right now?
No.
Like, we're right in front of me.
Okay.
You hear that?
It's buzzing.
All right, yeah, that's buzzing, but watch. Let me get psyched up for this.
Okay.
Okay, what are we doing?
And I will
talking to Jeremy Lin.
Operation right now.
Okay.
And I will get all of the body parts out of there. There it was. I got them all out.
All of them?
I got them all out.
He is good.
That was unbelievable.
He is good.
You're a man of many talents.
But what I'm mostly known for is
basketball.
No. Not basketball.
No, okay, I mean, I think your newfound glory is for playing for the Knicks and turning that team around.
My main skill, it's guess how many fingers I'm holding behind my back game.
But that's
I will never lose, Kevin and Bean. Never.
But that.
Well, you want to play?
What's the?
No.
Okay.
You want to play?
Not really, but.
Guess how many fingers I'm holding behind my back.
Two.
Incorrect.
Four.
Nope.
Three.
Nope.
Five.
Eight.
Eight. Nope.
One.
25, Kevin.
You don't have 25 fingers.
With one finger, I'm holding up two, and in the other hand, I'm holding up five.
Okay, so it's a parlor trick. All right, good.
And I'm also a huge champion of the game Battleship.
Battleship.
Battleship, yes.
They have those championships as well? I mean, I would think chess, maybe, or something that takes a lot of brain power, but Battleship?
Listen, listen, listen. Do you want to play a game?
Not really. I mean,
nine.
Bet you sunk it.
You
actually sunk my battle. That's right. In one move. That's the fastest that it's ever happened.
I'll carry you home
tonight. I like that song. That's a good song.
Too. What are you coming at me like that for?
I'm just saying.
106.7 K Rock is KROQ, and it is 7:51.
The 8-time Emmy Award-winning Amazing Race host, Phil Kogan, is going to be joining us coming up right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I wonder if, does he get an Emmy? He's the host of the show. The show wins an Emmy. Does he get the Emmys, too? Do you think he has them at home?
I'm sure he has all of them.
All right, well, we'll
find
out.
He's an overachiever.
Yeah.
New season comes back. It's 20th go-round.
As a matter of fact, I don't think I like him much. He's an overachiever. He's ruining the curve for the rest of us.
Kevin Amin filling in for Ralph Garman for just a couple more times here on the Showbiz Beat. We promise Ralph is coming back next week after a well-deserved vacation. And we start with some baby news. It's been a while since we had a celebrity with a crazy baby name. You know, the last few celebrities that we've talked about have had pretty normal names, and we've been a little bit disappointed. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. They need to
that's
really...
That's the job of the celebrities, is to have honked up names.
Step it up and name your kids something effed up so that we can make fun of it.
Exactly, like Moroccan, the Mariah Carey baby, Moroccan, for instance.
Right.
Well, Jason Bateman and his wife Amanda just had a brand new baby girl this week. It has been confirmed to Us Weekly. The baby's name is Maple. Maple. Her name is Maple.
That is borderline.
Her first name is Maple.
I like maple syrup.
Maple sounds old, like a grandma.
Sounds real old, yeah.
Sounds like a grandma's name.
Maple Sylvie is the middle name, S-Y-L-V-I-E. Not Sylvia, but Sylvie. Maple Sylvie Bateman.
Well, they made sure that she couldn't use the middle name.
This is the couple's second daughter. They have a 5-year-old named Francesca. So, look, Jason Bateman can do whatever he wants as far as I'm concerned.
I agree.
I look at him and I go,
he's a genius.
You killed a dude, you're the Arrested Development guy, that's fine. You want to name your kid Maple? That's fine, too. Congratulations.
What do you do? Here's the weird thing. You know, we talk about celebrity divorces all the time, and it's so different than normal people divorces, because normal people divorces, you don't know if you're going to get somebody else that's as good or better or anyone ever. If you're Katy Perry, really, you have the world to pick from.
You'll do fine. Right.
When you get divorced, you go, okay, what? How many of the other 3.5 billion people am I interested in? She apparently made herself feel a little bit better by going to the military base, Camp Pendleton. So she goes down there to entertain the troops at Camp Pendleton here in Southern California. Yes.
I think she's probably pretty well received down there when Katy Perry shows up with those, right?
But I'm saying she doesn't go to the Middle East where the fighters are. She goes to Camp Pendleton and she shows up just to lift their spirits and other things.
I think that's fantastic. And I applaud her for doing that.
And it worked out well for her.
In fact, the Kevin and Bean Show has been a little depressed lately, too. If you're looking for places to come and lift some spirits. Well, Paul McCartney is back in the news. He's having a hell of a week, by the way. I think by all accounts. Kevin, you didn't care for his first performance on the Grammys last week.
No, but, hated
it. He's getting good reviews and good sales for his new album. He also closed the show. He got his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame last week. He did an interview in the recent issue of Rolling Stone magazine. He got the cover. And he says that he is no longer smoking marijuana. At 69 years old, he says he has decided to stop smoking.
Why give it up at that point?
Yeah.
Right at that point, you're just coasting, right?
That's all you do is smoke. He's got all the money in the world.
Yep. His legend is secure. There's nothing that's going to happen to him from smoking pot.
Right.
He also, in the article, talked about his drug use throughout his life, which I thought was interesting, that Bob Dylan is the one who turned him on to marijuana back in the 1960s. He also has experimented with lots of other drugs, including LSD, cocaine.
Yes.
A little bit surprised. Heroin. Paul McCartney on the horse? Did you guys have any idea? This is news to me.
No,
I didn't really follow his life closely, but yeah, it's a little surprising.
Wow.
Yeah, but he says the reason he has decided to give up marijuana at 69 years old is because he's got an 8-year-old daughter, Beatrice, now. He says, look, I smoked my share. When you're bringing up a youngster, your sense of responsibility kicks in. If you're lucky, at some point, enough is enough, and you just don't seem to think it's necessary anymore.
He did smoke his share, though.
He's
69 years old. That's going to make pot available for like 200 other people. So that's good.
Imagine how much pot he smoked over the last 40 years. And that's the thing he went to jail for, remember? He got busted on a Japanese tour and ended up spending 9 days in prison in Japan because he was found with marijuana.
We're so high right now.
We're not low.
Snooki is going to be getting married. Have you heard this in Touch Weekly? Snooki says she will be marrying boyfriend Gianni Lavelle.
Oh, that poor bastard.
She's not quite sure when it'll happen, though, because he hasn't asked yet.
Hmm.
But she's waiting for him to pop the question. And then when he does, then they're going to get married.
He's not going to ask Snooki to marry him.
I can guarantee you
that if a girl is making it known to a guy that she's waiting for him to ask, it's not going to happen.
Right.
Yeah. Especially if you're snooky.
Unless they build a reality show about it.
Oh, then they'll get married and divorced.
Just for that, yeah.
Shut up, snooky.
That's an excellent point, by the way, Lisa. I bet that's what she's holding out for, is the snooky gets married. She would be a bridezilla, wouldn't she?
Oh my God.
Here's a potential update on a story we told you about yesterday, the mysterious circumstances of the Colbert Report being canceled. You know, the Colbert Report has never canceled a show since it started airing. So it was mysterious when people, you know, who already had tickets to go watch the show being taped a couple of nights ago were contacted and found out that the show had been canceled. And the statement was, was a little bit vague. Due to unforeseen circumstances, we have canceled our taping for the date on your ticket. So they're taking the rest of this week off. A person who has a business relationship with the show tells the Huffington Post that it's because Stephen Colbert's mom is seriously ill.
Okay. We thought it was something. It sounded like it might be something personal.
Yeah. And if that is the case, I, you know, obviously hope she's fine. It was unclear when we were discussing yesterday whether the show was suspended or somehow Stephen Colbert was suspended. And, you know, there are a lot of people in the media who were sniffing around, you know, waiting for the other shoe to drop to find out if he had done something or whatever. But apparently that's what it is. And, you know, fingers crossed, everything works out great. He is unbelievably talented, that dude. To be able to create that character and do that character full time on that show is amazing. And you rarely find somebody who's quicker on his feet than Stephen Colbert in character.
If you don't like to watch the news like I don't, you watch The Daily Show on Comedy Central and then watch his show right afterwards. Mm-hmm. And you'll get most of the news, but it'll be funny.
Right, exactly.
And you'll enjoy it. We told you earlier this morning about Congressman Fred Upton. He's a Republican representative from Michigan's 6th Congressional District.
He's my favorite member of Congress.
He told Fox News he's very, very proud of his niece, who happens to be Kate Upton, and is the Sports Illustrated 2012 swimsuit issue. Can you imagine how much crap his friends, his true friends, give to him behind the scenes?
Well, yeah, and think about the fact that she's his niece.
Right, yes.
Right.
That'd be difficult, too.
He must be split in half with his desire to see her naked over here and his desire over here to never see her naked.
Yes.
Right? That must be the most difficult thing in the world to get your head around.
That man is going to fall over dead of a stroke any day.
He's going to have a heart attack because he's got an angel on one shoulder and a devil on the other. All right, let's get out of here and make way for our amazing race guest. Look, we told you there are too many birthdays today. Everybody from Michael Jordan to Paris Hilton to Billy Joe Armstrong. But let's just all agree that the only birthday that matters, ladies and gentlemen, is our favorite Kevin and Bean Lister, Doto, celebrates his birthday today. Here's a tribute to our man, the Doe.
My first memory is I just love the buffets in Las Vegas. I love the flan. It has a lot of sugar. It tastes less fattening because it's European dessert.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just like some of the syrup, flan syrup.
Yes. Happy birthday to Doe. That is the show business.
Welcome to the Amazing Race. You're about to begin a physically grueling, mentally draining, life-changing adventure. There are 12 legs on this race that are designed to push you like you've never been pushed before. If you make it to the final leg and you cross the finish line first, you will win the Amazing Race and $1 million.
Phil Kogan joins us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's the only host, by the way, who I feel could win at the competition that he is the host of the TV show.
That's
like,
true.
If Phil were on the Amazing Race, I think he would win. I don't think Probst could survive as a survivor, for instance. Phil, I think you could win the thing. How are you, my friend? Good to see you again.
I'm good. Actually, I think Jeff would do all right on Survivor. He's a fit guy.
I think it's worse than that. I think Phil could run the Amazing Race. Even when the contestants are flying, he can
just
run.
I have no interest in being on the Amazing Race, let me tell you. No interest at all.
But we all agree that Trebek, though, would get blanked on Jeopardy, right? That guy's just a smug a-hole, right? He doesn't know the answer to any of those questions, but he makes it seem like he does, right?
I could do that if I had all the answers in front of me.
Of course.
Exactly.
Well, no, I couldn't, but most
all right.
Could.
Well, listen, we have a lot of ground to cover in our time with Mr. Kogan here today. It's always great to see Phil. I always feel alternately inspired and then depressed when he leaves the studio. And we are going to get to the Amazing Race, and we are going to get to the documentary The Ride that's getting ready to debut this weekend. But first, as you walked in, you caught wind of a conversation we were having about our man Beer Mug here, who you just met, who's trying to lose some weight.
Yeah.
You've got the opposite problem, right? You can't even keep weight on because you're so active, right?
Yeah, if I stop working out, I actually get skinny.
one of those people.
I lose muscle mass. So when I go on Amazing Race,
you look frail.
I do. I look terrible. So I actually go from I lose about 12 to 15 pounds when every time I go away on Amazing Race. And it's mostly because I'm running from here to there. Yeah. I'm not working out, so I actually lose muscle mass.
Wow.
And no guy wants to be told they're skinny. I've never met a guy who wants to be told, man, you look really skinny.
Yeah.
No. Now, women, they love to be told they look skinny.
Sure, sure.
But for a guy to be told he looks skinny, I take it like it would be, you know, a woman being told, man, you look so fat.
Yeah, same thing. It's an insult. No question.
Right. You want to have some mass. You want to be a guy.
You want to look fit is what you want to look.
We were talking about Beer Mug and losing the 30 pounds. You say that's easy.
I think he can do it. And I don't know where the bet's at, but I will bet with you. And I'm happy to put some money down.
All right. Well, we're using credits, 100 each. So 100. You're certainly welcome to join that.
I think you could do it, but I have to be able to consult, you know, be able to
consult. I want to hear some of your advice.
See, here's the problem. We made the bet like 2 days ago, and Muggs is on his own for research. You come in here spouting out all these facts.
No, I think he can do it.
But look, everybody can have facts. It's applying them and sticking to it. So he can give him facts.
Well, I got it. Look me in the eye for a second. Just look me in the eye.
Yeah.
And tell me you want to do this.
I want to do this.
Say it again.
I want to do this.
He's staring right into his eyes.
You believe Phil.
But Phil, I have to ask, and Lisa asked a great question, because everybody is hanging on every word right now, because you, without even thinking about it, said, 30 pounds in 3 months, that's easy. But don't you find that most of the people in America have been trying to lose that 30 pounds for years and can't do it?
Yeah, but here's the thing. You've got to want it. That's why I had to look in his eyes. You know, I had a personal project. A friend of mine, he was 260 pounds, and he was terribly depressed. He really wanted to lose some weight. And I made it a personal project to try to help this guy.
Right.
And he lost 70 pounds, and he ended up losing 70 pounds. And a lot of it just has to do with, if you really, really want it, you got to want it like you want a girl, like you want to have sex. You got to want it like the things you really, really want in life. Things about the things you really, really want. If you want it that much, it's totally doable. And I can see, you know, you could absolutely lose that weight.
I've been down to that. My fit weight, which is where I'm going to be at if I achieve the bet.
Which is what?
195. Okay. 196 is where I have to be. But I've been to 195.
We can get you to 185 if you want to be there. Yeah. You'll be ripped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was 315 like last week.
No, you can do it. But, you know, I got to find out a little bit about what you're eating. And
no, I don't want you to help him.
Why not? Phil, I have to also throw this out there. You're an exceptional person. I'm not just blowing smoke here, but you have control of your mind. You have control of your
crazy
body.
Crazy discipline.
You're crazy. I mean, you literally got on a bicycle and rode it across the country. Am I right?
I did. But
most people can't ride a bike 5 miles, Phil.
Why?
You understand?
No.
You're not most people.
Hold on a second. You just said something that, you know, we don't allow the word can't in my house. You know, I grew up with my dad saying, you're not allowed to say I can't. You can say you find something difficult. You can say you find something challenging. But every time you say, I can't do this, I can't do that, what you're doing is you're practicing becoming very good at making excuses for what you cannot do. And people say, I'm just being realistic. Well, what's realistic? You create your own reality. So you must take that, out of your vernacular. You must not say, I can't. It's whether you choose to do it.
Let me bring something up, though, because this is one of my pet peeves. Every single time somebody wins a Grammy and they get up there, or an acting award or whatever, they get up there and they say, follow your dreams, never give up, follow your dreams, never give up. And then you see these people on American Idol that can't sing worth a crap.
Right.
And you wouldn't tell them the same thing. You would not tell them to follow your dreams and don't give up and you have to have discipline. Some people need to change their dreams.
Well,
because they can't sing.
I totally agree with that. But the point is, you've got to take the journey. You've got to take the risk. You know, the biggest risk in life is not taking a risk. So if you really, really want to be a singer.
Write that down. Look it up later.
And if you really, really want to sing, and you go out and a lot of people tell you that you really, really suck.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, you've got to say to yourself, okay, if I really love singing, and so many people have told me that I really, really suck, I can either keep working away to try to get a voice, and there's just some people, let's be honest, that are never going to get a voice.
Right, and they should give up that dream.
Well, I think that what they need to do is they need good counsel, and they maybe need to take that passion that they have for singing and diverted into maybe becoming a manager or you want to be
stay in the business.
Right. You want to be surrounded by the stuff that you love.
I can join a choir,
but it happens to athletes.
Something like that.
Right. It's not mic'd.
It happens to people who want to be pro athletes. Right. At some point, they take a turn.
Maybe
right.
they're an agent. Maybe they work a coach.
They realize, or actors who realize, you know what? I love this and I love the craft, but hey, maybe I'm better at sort of identifying talent than I am having talent myself.
Beer mug is the Michael Jordan of smoking weed.
are you a big weed smoker?
For example.
That's not going to help.
Well,
right?
but that gives me hope.
It does?
Yes, I'll tell you why. Because hopefully you can just smoke more dope and drink less beer.
Yeah.
Because beer is the killer for weight.
I've cut out all beer.
Now, the only problem is with the smoking of the dope,
right,
is
hungry.
The appetite.
Right.
So you got to lock the refrigerator or put yourself in a way, in a room somewhere.
Right.
That's the only thing that does
him.
Work.
You need to smoke a lot of weed.
Nope.
Tell him about your drinking idea.
Cut out beer.
Right.
And I do
good
like,
idea.
I do like, you know, to have alcohol.
Go out on the weekends.
Go out on the weekends, right.
Get to the point.
Sorry. And I found out that Jack Daniel's whiskey, brown alcohol, and diet soda has no calories and no carbs.
Perfect.
Right? Am I right?
Drink a lot of that.
It doesn't sound right to me.
Drink a lot of that. No, that's right to me.
Alcohol has calories.
Yeah.
I double-checked that. That's scientific.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
That's science.
Thanks a lot, Dave, the King of Mexico.
I think you're being duped.
Hold on. The guy who's betting against you told you that?
Yeah.
With a straight face.
All right. No, we never said he was smart. All we said was that he's on a diet, right? No. Listen. First of all, stop taking advice. Okay.
Don't take his advice.
Water, okay. If he was telling you to drink water, all right. But you're talking about alcohol.
So I got to cut out all alcohol.
Dude, if you're going to drink anything, drink a little bit of wine and not white wine because it has more sugar. Drink red wine.
Okay.
And just a glass. And you just, control yourself.
Okay.
Dude. All right?
Good advice. All right, listen, we're gonna have to take a break here in a minute, but I want to bring it back around to the Amazing Race, Phil, because you are an inspiring figure. What have you learned in 20 seasons of hosting the Amazing Race about what humans are capable of doing versus what they think they're capable of doing from all the contestants that you have shepherded through this program?
Well, I think ultimately, we put restrictions on ourselves by what people tell us or what we are led to believe. People tell us what we're capable of, and I think ultimately what separates one athlete from another, when you're talking about these guys that are on the court, they've all got incredible skills, they're all athletic, they're all fit, they're all working out, they're all lifting weights, they're all strong. Ultimately, what separates one athlete from another, and in life what separates one person from another, is attitude, is your mental capacity to be able to cope with life's challenges. Life is tough.
And the Amazing Race is a concentration of that.
Absolutely.
It's tough every day.
But it's
also decision-making. You watch your show closely and you watch decision-making, and if the people who make the best decisions really get far ahead.
Right, and decisions come from how you approach things in life. Like if you are looking at a challenge and you start off with, I can't jump off that, you've immediately affected the decision that you're going to make going forward.
Right.
If you're an optimist, if you get good at what you practice, right? Malcolm Gladwell says you get, it's 10,000 hours to become
an
expert in something.
Right.
So if you have an entire life of, I can't, I could never do that, I've never been good at that. If you continually practice that, and let's say you're 45 years old and you've been practicing it for 10,000 hours, guess what? You're really good at saying no to things. And conversely, somebody who's very good at saying, who's being the eternal optimist, and we know those people, when we meet them, we get it. We
always
go, oh, he's an optimist. They get very good with 10,000 hours of practicing being an optimist.
All right, we need to break. We need to break, but we're going to come back with Phil Kogan. I would like to say, however, that I've been doing this job for more than 10,000 hours. And I am not an expert. Thank you, Lisa. It's a world famous K-Rock at 22 minutes after 8.
Phil Kogan in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about the return of the Amazing Race. It's going to be 8 o'clock, CBS, this Sunday night, season 20. Phil, season 20? Really?
Yeah,
that's
really
crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what you call well-employed. I feel very lucky.
No kidding.
It's funny, too, because at the beginning of every season, you size up the groups.
Yep.
You introduce them, you give us a little backstory, and you size them up, and it seems like it's an... I've learned that you can't.
You can't.
Just,
in other words, you can't predict
win.
Who's going to do
hey,
well.
I
right.
think that person is going to be in the top at least three,
right.
and he's the first out. And you go, well, that didn't work.
I mean, the very first season of Amazing Race, the first episode, and there's an army couple there, and I picked them to be there in the final. Right. I figure, hey, the guy's been in the military. He's got to be
he's
there.
He's disciplined. He knows what he's doing.
First team right. eliminated
really?
From the Amazing Race.
Wow.
Well, and look. Older couples, you know, beating them out. I mean, it's unpredictable.
Yeah.
Yeah, tell me about that, actually, because you run the gamut from 20s, and what's the oldest couple you've ever had on there? People in their 60s, right?
Yeah, I think Meredith is the oldest we've ever had, and I think he was 68 or 69, somewhere around there.
Can you even guess based on the relative ages of the people how they're going to do? No, that doesn't factor in at all, right?
Listen, if there's one thing I've learned, I mean, age, I mean, I've seen the most extraordinary athletes, older athletes, and mentally tough people. You know, my dad is an example. A guy's 70 years old, 200 pounds, and runs a half marathon in under 2 hours.
Wow.
At 70 and 200 pounds.
I hate your whole family.
You
ruined the curve, man.
No. I'm just saying there are so many tough people. It age really, you know, they say age is just a number. It really is a number. I've seen the most unhealthy people. You're going to get healthy, aren't you?
Thank you. He said unhealthy people, and he looked right at beer
bottles. Well, I'm just saying. Right now, we're going to get you on track, aren't we?
No, we are not going to.
But I mean, young people, you know.
No, you're absolutely right, Phil. I don't remember who it was on the show, but somebody who was obese, maybe not technically obese, but to my eyes, very fat, who just never quit. The stamina was unbelievable in these people. And I mean, you're right. A lot of it is the mental attitude. What about the clowns this year? You've got a pair of married clowns that are contestants, the Greggs. Tell me about them.
Well, I mean, it is kind of crazy, really, when you think that we have Border Patrol agents, we have somebody who's really epitomizes the best that the military has to offer. This guy is a really elite soldier. We have FBI agents who are actually really hot looking FBI agents. And they're sort of like, they're the A types, the ultra competitive, you know, people who are used to structure in their life and getting up every day and doing their job diligently. And at the other end of the spectrum, a team that's literally clowning around. I mean, they're wearing
real
their noses and, you know, doing the whole
that's
you know,
gonna
clowning,
get old quick,
wolf
Phil.
Thing. You know,
that's going to get old quick. They got those little horns?
Yeah. What is it about clowns that scare me, by the way?
You too?
Oh, I don't
they're
know.
They're hiding
not
something.
Me, but so many people are afraid
nightmares.
Of clowns.
They're hiding something.
Nightmares.
Yeah, they're put on that happy face, and there's something ugly underneath it.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I'm in some eyes. Horror movie when I see
Let's
them.
Talk about two things in the past that I love, just because I want to bring them up again, and it was the funniest thing ever. One was, without being racist, there was a black couple who were named the Blacks. That was their last name. So they would come in, and he would say, Black family, you're number three. And it just sounded like crazy until I realized that was actually their name. And the other one was the watermelon in the face was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life,
which became an internet sensation. I think at last check it was something like 3 million views,
and it
something.
Had a million or something before that it even
in
aired.
24 hours. Yeah. That clip went to
it was a
catapult
right? It was with a watermelon. Catapult with a watermelon, and it shot right back and hit her in the face and exploded.
And listen, we test every single challenge,
yeah,
you know, over and over and over again, because we want to avoid, you know, people being killed by watermelons.
But don't avoid that. That was great. She didn't
die. Well, what I'm telling you is we never set it
you
up like that, and we never saw that happening. How do you catapult something, you know, one direction and have it literally turn around the other direction and come back? It hit her so hard in the face.
It was magic.
It was terrifying is what it was.
Yeah.
I mean,
it
imagine how
magic.
Heavy a watermelon is and how fast it's traveling. And by the way, Kevin,
I'd be willing to bet I watched that 50,000 times.
Yeah. Your head would have exploded, Kevin, if it had been the Black family that had been hit with the watermelon. You would not have been able to handle that.
How about countries this time around, Phil? Any place new you hadn't been before season 20?
Yeah, this is a cool thing about, you know, the show's 20 seasons in and we can still go to new places. We went to Paraguay. We went to Azerbaijan.
Ooh.
Azerbaijan.
Gesundheit.
Yes.
Do you mind if I ask where that is?
Yes. It's right. It's in the Middle East and it's right on the edge of the Caspian Sea.
Okay.
A lot of oil. So there's a lot of offshore drilling of oil. Mm-hmm. And there is so much oil in Azerbaijan that locals literally soak in oil. Like we would go to a spa and
it's
we would
a spa?
Go. Yeah, we would go to a spa and we would soak in hot, you know, baths and like, in mineral water. They soak in crude oil.
Just because they can?
Because there's so much of it.
It's good for you?
I mean, really?
Apparently, if you soak in oil, your skin absorbs all the minerals in the oil and the crude oil.
Really?
But can you imagine the when I went in there and into the spa there?
They were setting you up, man.
Oh, and I was.
They went, we got Phil to take a bath in oil.
I was greeted by a man because we were shooting a stand up there. And I was greeted by a man who had these sort of Azerbaijani shorts on, and he had hair that was like a, it was like a hairy suit that had been tailor fitted over his body.
Okay,
you know? But I'm talking like thick hair, like right. this.
He's holding up his
Teen Wolf, right?
An inch and a half,
yes,
maybe
exactly,
two.
Exactly, Teen Wolf. Okay. Except he was middle aged Wolf, and he slipped into the crude oil with.
And,
it was like a sponge.
I did.
Right? The hair like filled up with the crude oil.
He weighed three times as much when he got out.
He was like a human sponge of
Will
oil.
We see this on the show?
Oh, you're going to see it, all right.
Oh man.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah. I want to see the FBI agents in that.
The Amazing Race comes back Sunday night at 9 and, 8 o'clock Sunday night. And I also want to mention just real quick as we say goodbye, Phil, that your documentary, The Ride, is going to be premiering on Showtime, and that's tomorrow night at 8. Now, you've talked to us about the ride itself before, but this is you going how far on a bicycle to raise money?
Well, it was 3,700 miles from Santa Monica through Chicago to New York City. We raised $500,000 on the actual ride, and we had these great clips, video clips that we shot for video blogs. We turned it into a film. We took the film out on a 21-city tour across the country. It sold out everywhere. We gave all the money to MS. Oh. And now Showtime has picked it up as a documentary, which will be on Saturday at 8 o'clock.
Can't wait.
We're giving the licensing fee all to MS, and this marks $1 million of fundraising for MS from me getting on a bicycle and riding across America. So I have to tell you, it's more than a bike ride. It really is a celebration and of the spirit of America, and it's because of the generosity of Americans.
Let me ask you quickly, why MS? Out of all the different charities.
You know, I have my personal philosophy, no opportunity wasted, and part of that for me is it's important to have like a philanthropic part of that. You know, like some whatever.
I just didn't know if there was a personal reason you picked that.
There wasn't in the beginning. It was just I was asked to sponsor a team, and it so happened that they were aligned with MS. And then when I got involved, I started to realize how many people I knew with MS, and then found out it was in my own family. And so it just made it even more pertinent. But that only really happened recently that I discovered it in my own family.
And just to be completely clear, you are against multiple sclerosis, not for it, right? I don't want people to misunderstand, right?
Yes.
Thank you for the clarification.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
This is something we want eradicated in our lifetime, I'm telling you. It is a dreadful disease.
And Muggs, when you're tired one day and you feel like you need to go to the gym and you say, oh, I can't do it, I'm too tired, I want you to look at Phil Kogan and think that he got on a bicycle in Santa Monica and rode it to New York. No, I want you to think about that for a second.
I want you to think of a red-hot poker, you know, one that's been in the fire, and somebody's going to jab you with that if you don't get your ass to the gym.
And you know where.
Yes.
And you know where, exactly.
Phil, I want to hire you as my life coach.
Am I in on this now? Because I want to officially put money in.
All right.
But I have to be able to have a connection with you
so
that I can motivate your
butt. But how much of a connection? Because you're going to train him full time. That's cheating.
No, I just want to – I'm going to make sure.
It's cheating.
Because I will hunt you down if I lose my money.
How about this? Tell me if this works for you, Phil, with your busy schedule. Could Beer Mug get an email address where he could send you questions of options of things that he has questions about? Maybe you could advise him that way.
You can get my personal email address.
Okay.
And I will get you. I will get you down.
I feel like the rules. I feel like this bet has just been ruined. I should be able to take my money back out.
You're going to have a better life.
This is null and
void. You're
going
to get laid more. Are you getting laid right now?
Yeah.
You're going to get laid more, and you're going to walk like this to work with just sort of hunched over.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you're going to look. You're going to look 70 before you're 25.
The Ride airs on Showtime tomorrow night, and then The Amazing Race on Sunday night on CBS. Phil, you're the best, man. Thanks so much for coming in.
All right. Thanks for having me here.
Thank you.
Ralph Garman has been on vacation this week. He will be back next week, but I got to tell you, as much as I miss Ralph when he's gone, I love the opportunity to talk to our friend Russ Leatherman. He is Mr. Movie Phone from MoviePhone.com and 6SecondReviews.com, and he is here with the movie beat for this week. Hey, Russ, how are you, man?
Hey, guys, how goes?
Very good.
Hi, Russ.
How to go on CNN today? You have quite the fan club. You hear from all the ladies when they see your pretty face on their cable TV?
Nope.
All right.
I did hear from Lisa immediately after our segment last week. She says, Mr. Movie Phone, I really respect your opinion, but I'll be checking out the 2 o'clock show of The Vow.
And how'd that go for you, Lisa?
It was not good.
Right?
But certainly not the worst romantic comedy I've ever seen.
Okay, first of all, I said it wasn't good. Right. I didn't say it was the worst. I was just trying to save you some money.
No, that's I understand. But I had a girlfriend who wanted to go, so.
But Mr. Movie Phone, a lot of our line, mine included, is it just can't be the worst movie ever.
Right.
That is very, a very general statement. And what did you think of those Dead Little Eyes?
All I could think of was Dead Little Eyes when I watched it. You're absolutely right.
Well, look, we're going to start this week with This Bee's War, which has to be Lisa May's girlfriend pick of the weekend, too. Right, Mr. Movie Phone?
Is that true, Lisa? You're going to go?
No, I've heard it is the worst movie ever.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Didn't think so?
Well, that's weird because you've got Chris Pine, you got Tom Hardy.
I know.
They like them both.
They're great.
Super hunky, right?
Yes.
Plus Reese Witherspoon. Everybody loves Reese.
Sure.
This is sort of a spy versus spy. You have these two guys. They're spies. They realize they've fallen for the same woman, Reese Witherspoon, and they kind of agree to play fair, but then all the rules go out the window and some very creepy surveillance techniques sort of come into play. Let's listen to a clip.
I had no idea. No, of course you didn't. How could you know that?
I'm going to bow out.
You did it.
Besides the fact, if I got in the picture, wouldn't even be fair.
I'm sorry. What does that mean?
Come on, man. You're not out there as much as I am.
You don't have to bow out because of me. Just let her decide.
Sure.
Yeah. And while we're at it, why don't we put some ground rules in?
As well. I think we should.
Number one, I don't think we should tell her that we know each other.
Number two, let's stay out of each other's way.
Number three.
Yeah.
No, hanky panky.
God, you've not dated in a long time, have you?
That's about half the movie, wasn't it?
It really was. And I got to tell you, Reese Witherspoon, looking good.
Agreed.
Right? Like, looking super good.
Yeah.
And the fact that they've each sort of put in these hidden little cameras in her apartment, stuff like that.
Agreed.
Bean, I didn't find that creepy at all. You?
No. As a matter of fact, you just perked up my ears. Now I think I might be interested in seeing this. And also, by the way, McGee, who I have a lot of respect for, has done a lot of great work in the theaters before. He's the director of this, right? He does pretty good stuff.
Yeah. I got to tell you, Lisa, I didn't think this was the worst movie in the world.
Okay.
I actually thought it was reasonably entertaining.
Really?
I really did. And I don't know why it is, but I have more of a tolerance for a sort of a marginal movie that's trying to make me laugh with some action than a marginal movie that's trying to make me cry, like The Vow.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't even know why that is, but I do know that I enjoyed this movie. It's not great. It's not terrible. But if you're looking for a decent thing to do with, your date, check it out. It's not
all right.
So bad.
Back on my list. Thank
all right.
you.
All right. All now, right. Newsflash. Nick Cage's head is on fire.
His head is on fire again.
Again.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance. He's back. This is a sequel. Did you guys see the first movie?
No.
Oh, it was horrible.
You're so excited about it.
It really was. And so why not make a sequel? And here he comes back from hell, right, because he's trying to protect a mother and her child who are on the run from the devil.
Wasn't he coming back from hell to protect his own daughter or something last time?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Now, the only thing that can prop this movie up is Idris Elba, also stars in the movie.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You probably know him from The Wire and a bunch of other stuff.
Right.
He's pretty awesome. Right?
He's a great actor. Yeah. Great actor.
Is he awesome enough?
Well, let's listen to a clip.
Let the rider follow his stench. He will lead you to the boy.
You said something about a deal.
The church of my masters is an ancient one. We are prepared to give to you the one thing you want most of this world. Bring us the boy, and we will lift your curse.
Maybe we let that run too long. I'm not sure.
Why is the music so loud in Nicolas Cage movies? Are they hoping you can't hear the awful dialogue?
Yes.
Well, here's it. I'm kind of pissed, right? Because I look at the poster, and if you've seen the poster around town, you think, wow, the poster is awesome.
Yes.
Right? The motorcycle and him and on fire. And you look at the trailer, and you think that's pretty awesome.
It looks pretty cool in the trailer.
It does. But here's the thing. Studio wouldn't show it to us.
Right?
And here's why that's jacked up, is because we look at this movie and we don't think, hey, it's going to be an Oscar contender. We look at it and we go, hey, we got a dude, his head's on fire, he's riding a motorcycle, that could be cool. So why not let us see it, right? Like, why not let us at least be able to say, hey, it's not great, but it's fun, instead of just saying, hey, it's got a super blow, because you wouldn't even show it to us.
Yep.
So that's the common wisdom, is that if a movie sucks, they don't show it to reviewers, because then all the reviewers talk bad about it.
Well, you just have to assume it's a mega turd.
and it's such an outdated a plan of attack for the movie theaters, too, because by the first screening today, reviews are going to be all over the internet and all over Twitter for anyone who cares to read them. I mean, that's going to kill your word of mouth, right, Mr. Movie Phone?
Well,
it doesn't work like it used to, where you could quietly open a movie and nobody would find out about it.
No, I think that's definitely true, but I also think there are certain people out there who just want to go see this stupid movie because it's stupid,
right?
And it looks cool.
And somebody's head's on fire.
And his head's on fire.
Right.
What more can you ask for? So it's your 2250. You do what you want, but we can't take that ghost ride.
All right.
All right. Now, there's an animated film in theaters. It's called The Secret World of Arrietty. It's a Japanimation, if you will. It's sort of a play on the Borrowers, if you remember that. You've got Arrietty. There are these tiny people who live among us, and this little family's living under the house. Arrietty meets a boy, discovers that they can have this great friendship, and there you go. So here's a clip.
My papa said we have to move now. We've been seen, and borrowers aren't supposed to be seen.
What are borrowers?
My mother, father, and I are all borrowers. We borrow things that beans won't miss if they're gone. Just little things, soap and cookies and sugar, all things that we need to survive. Even my great-grandfather was a borrower.
I think my grandfather saw one of you once.
Mm. It's possible.
And it's my fault that you're leaving.
Now, okay. Bean, the King of Mexico was telling me that you just don't watch animated movies.
I know, and we don't have time to go into it here, and there's no reasonable there's no reasonable explanation, because I understand the Pixar films are great and some of the best work is being done in anime. I get that. I'm not going to go see The Secret World of Arrietty. I do know that.
I heard it was wonderful.
But okay, that sort of makes you suck, because here's why. I was watching Finding Nemo again the other day on my movie phone mansion size TV.
Sure.
Let me tell you this. There's nothing better than Finding Nemo. Like, that was such a great movie. And I will tell you this. The Secret World of Arrietty, if you're looking for something to do with your kids, every frame is like a picture. The soundtrack is beautiful. It's a perfect family movie for you, for the kids, for everybody, and much better than a lot of what we do here in the States. So you need to broaden your horizons and check out some of these movies.
I agree. I can't disagree with anything you said. And isn't it sad, though, that easily the best movie of the weekend, according to you, Mr. Movie Phone, is The Secret World of Arrietty? It will make like a hundredth of what This Meets War and Ghost Rider make, right?
Yeah. So true.
Mr. Movie Phone, I want to have you on another day when we talk about nothing but being won't go to animated films.
Yes.
Dude, if we're going to spend time on Bean's weird conversation, you better book a week.
All right. Enough from you. 6secondreviews.com if you're really rushed for time. Otherwise, moviephone.com, which has just turned into a fantastic website. And, of course, you can see Mr. Movie Phone on Facebook as well. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll talk to you again, sir.
Thank you, guys.
Adam Carolla joins the cast of Celebrity Apprentice, airing this Sunday night on NBC, I want to say.
So
all that stuff we said about being on CBS and watching The Amazing Race, forget all that. Now we're saying watch The Celebrity Apprentice instead. Or watch one and tape the other. Adam joins us after the top of the hour. In the meantime, filling in for Ralph Garman this hour on the Showbiz Beat, is our friend DJ Omar Khan. Hey, Omar.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Very good.
Dave Grohl in the news. He really wants to take it to the next level, so he's thinking of recording his next album in space.
In space?
Isn't that crazy? Yeah, he's thinking of recording and taking a bunch of analog gear on a big shuttle and recording the entire thing and mastering it down here on Earth.
Have we lost Dave?
Yes. I don't know, man. Yeah.
Have we lost Dave? We've lost Dave.
But it's probably going to be an amazing record. So let him do whatever he has to do, because we need more Foo Fighters music.
Agreed.
Right?
The last album is, I still have it in my CD player.
It's an amazing record.
But we've lost him.
It's all good with me.
All right.
I like it.
All right.
But he's got some competition from Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Uh-oh.
They actually want to be the first super couple that records a music video in space. They even gone as far to ask Richard Branson to borrow one of his Virgin Galactic ships. So they might beat him to the punch.
Wow.
Who knew this was a race?
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
It's not a race very many people can play.
Yeah. I actually have a clip of the Beyonce and Jay-Z song. It's pretty good. Check it out. Kevin's a big
wait a minute. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K Rock. 106.7 KROQ. We've got a special guest to talk to about it. It's like you catch a fish in a lake and you put it out on the ground and just like flops around on the ground completely. It's like a fish out of water is what it's like.
Now, he's not going to want to spend much time with all those other boys in their room come pretty here a couple years.
We've got to get to the bottom of what in the hell is going on with this blue man. These guys, they paint their faces red.
Monday morning, we have an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
I object.
I like the direction they're going in.
I object.
I really like that.
That is a lie.
Making comedy records now.
Yeah. The voice in the news. All four judges are coming back to season 3. Season 2 is not even over yet, but they're in for season 3.
Even the little flipper guy?
Even the little flipper guy. But check this out. Christina Aguilera is getting a reported $10 million. All the other judges only got 6.
What?
Really?
Do you believe that?
I saw this article the other day that I thought was... that I thought was really interesting, Omar, and that is that part of the reason reality television became so popular in the last few years is because it was inexpensive to make.
Right.
And now you've got Jennifer Lopez making whatever she's making for American Idol, $15 million or something like that. Christina Aguilera making $10 million, you know, Steven Tyler, then he wants a raise. Howard Stern is coming to America's Got Talent. I think he's making $50 million. It's getting to the point now where they're not going to be able to put reality shows on the air anymore because they're too expensive.
And I don't get it. I mean, Christina's okay, but she's not funnier. Adam Levine and the country guy are way, way funnier and more entertaining and more personable on the show, I think.
She's kind of the one you want to hate, though. She's become pretty hateable.
Oh, really?
Which does make it interesting.
Which is important. Really? Okay. Yeah. Then maybe that's why she's demanding so much money. She's actually working on another record also. I have a little clip of that, too.
By the way, just for the movie theaters, all site, all do not... There's no all that... There's not. It's not a hard one, but if you heard it, but it is the way it,
that's
you
not,
heard.
This is not...
Really?
What are you doing?
I don't know, but the setup was terrible. This is kind of sad. Former Celebrity Rehab star Shefty Shilshock got arrested last night for possession of rock cocaine.
Yeah, he was in that band with the Butterfly
Crazy
song,
Town,
right?
Yeah.
Crazy Town, right.
He was one of those, when you first saw him, you were like, no way.
Yeah, he was at Ross Dress for Less. By the way, what's Shefty Shilshock doing at Ross?
For Less?
Yeah, he was there with his girlfriend, and an employee reportedly saw him roughing her up. So the employee went out on the street, grabbed the cops. Cops came. They searched him, found cocaine on him, and took him. He's still in custody right now.
Oh, that's
way to go, Dr. Drew.
I know.
It's not his fault.
Crazy Town reportedly was working on a new album. Have a clip.
I don't know. That's a toss-up.
and he needs
in this story. When good men fail to stand up, bad triumphs, or whatever that is. We need an update for when the book comes out on DVD.
I don't find this funny at all.
I know. You should see Kevin looking at me.
It's not
funny. I'm the biggest dick in the world.
It isn't funny.
Whitney Houston's
has
not
a new song, I know.
No. But she does have a bunch of unreleased music.
And does she?
Clive Davis says that, you know, she has 7 studio albums, and off of each record, there's probably like 3 or 4 songs that were unreleased.
Oh, no kidding.
You know, so.
You mean we have a chance to hear songs that weren't good enough to make it on a record?
Yeah, they're going to probably.
And they'll sell.
Yeah, they're probably going to release it during Christmas time. They're going to do a greatest hit and, you know, make it a double disc and throw the rest. I have an example of one of the songs.
You? And how often have you used it?
That song is over, and now we will speak. It's the Kevin and Beecher on the world famous K Rock.
Yeah,
I need to do the Dave Blend next time.
What?
I need to do the Dave Blend next time. I'm not drunk.
By the way, you can hear the entirety of Omar's tribute song to Kevin's broadcasting skills at krock.com. We do have it up there available for stream. We're not allowed to make it available for download. I know everybody's asking for that, but it's a copyright violation because we don't own the music. But
you can figure out how to stream it, people.
Yeah. Go to the website and stream it and then make your own copy. We don't care.
Celebrity birthdays. Actress Renee Russo is 58. Lou Diamond Phillips is 50. Get her done. Larry the Cable Guy is 40. Cable Guy.
I wish it was Larry the Cable Guy.
49 years old. Michael Jordan, 49. We got producer and director Michael Bay is 47. Luke Robitaille is 46. Denise Richards, 41. Billy Joe Armstrong of Green Day is 40. Jerry O'Connell is 38. Paris Hilton is 31. And the best celebrity birthday of today. K-Rock listener, Doto.
Doto!
That's correct.
Happy birthday, Doto. We need you to do the showbiz beat next time Ralph is out. He's in Vegas right now.
So that Omar can't do it.
Yeah, exactly. He's at a buffet. So I have a clip of this.
That guy. What do you need him for?
I have a clip of Doto doing the song.
Come on, that's the weakest setup ever.
Kevin's a big-headed drunkie.
The great Al Pacino. Good morning.
What?
I don't know what this is.
This is Sean Connery. Talking about curling.
Sorry.
That is not funny.
That's Rob Schubert's beat.
Coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to talk about the latest Radio Brethren, our brothers behind the mic who have been suspended for saying something dumb. Will we be next? My guess is yes. First, though, how about Adam Carolla? How about AdamCarolla.com? How about the man who does the podcast, the man who does the live shows, including February 25th at Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center, 2 big shows, 8 and 10:30. Tickets available through AdamCarolla.com. How about the man who's got the ebook Rich Man, Poor Man available? How about the man who's on my TV this Sunday night at 9 on NBC as one of the cast members for Celebrity Apprentice. Ace Man, welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you?
Yeah, get it on.
Who wins?
No? A lot of losers, that much I can tell you.
Adam, we have so many questions about Celebrity Apprentice. We're so excited about this season. We talked to Penn Jillette yesterday, and we want to talk to you about it, but I understand you are coming in studio next week, so we should save our comments till then, right?
Yes, I shall be there in the flesh.
All right. Okay, can't wait. In the meantime, though, since you're here, and it is Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show, how about Adam Carolla This Week in Rage?
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting with number three and working up to number one. Got a little Grammy steam working for you.
Okay.
First, the Beach Boys.
Yep.
Mike Love, the guy standing up front there in the Beach Boys, wears a hat that says, The Beach Boys. Really? We didn't think all the gold on the fingers and the Hawaiian shirt gave it away. You were introduced as the Beach Boys and you're playing at the Grammys. You don't need to wear a hat that says The Beach Boys.
And you've been the Beach Boys for 50 years.
No mistaking the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
It's not like John Stamos is ever going to wander upon a group of you and go, what group are you guys? You guys, the OJs? What group is this? The Delphonics? No, we're the Beach Boys. He's at the Grammys wearing a hat that says the Beach Boys. Now, I understand you get a lot of swag in this business, and I have a couple of windbreakers that say, like, the love line or a T-shirt that says the man show, and I might wear it if I'm walking around the house or even going to the supermarket, but not on stage at the Grammys. It'd be like Barack Obama wearing an Uncle Sam outfit every time he went out. We get it. You're in the Beach Boys. And then it's also, there's got to be some sort of moratorium on the Hawaiian shirt, because when it's on the 19-year-old guy, it's weird. He's trying to look, you know, that's the nerdy guy trying to look like he's got a little party in him.
Right, right.
And then when it's on the 63-year-old guy, it's creepy. That's the thrice-divorced guy who's trying to make it with the young cocktail waitress. 39 to 51. That's the window on the Hawaiian shirt.
I see.
After that or before that, we don't need it. I'm going to need to see some ID. And it's also got to be weird if you're the Beach Boys, if they go, we want you to perform at the Grammys. And you go, awesome. And then 26 other guys take the stage with you. I don't remember these dudes.
Yeah, it is kind of saying you suck, so we need to prop up your performance with Foster the People singing your songs in Maroon 5, right?
Right. Hey, Bob Dylan, we got something called the Wall of Banjos. They're going to be behind you. 26 mandolins, 155 banjos. It's going to be awesome. Number two, the In Memoriam thing, which I normally enjoy, like with the Oscars and the Emmys. But the Grammys digs deep, man. They got guys, they got blues singers I never heard of. They got guys running mixing boards and sound engineers and guys who held boom mics. It's like, Stax Johnson, nobody delivered a pizza to a sound studio like Stax. Like, I mean, really, after minute 20 of guys you've never heard of in your life, it's time to chop that one short. And finally, number one, listen, LL Cool J, I don't want to start any trouble with the guy. He's built like a brick house. But at the end, he called Sir Paul McCartney his homie.
He did do that.
And
yes.
I would argue that nobody could be further from LL's homie, if you really examine the word homie, than a guy 75 was born in Liverpool while it was being bombed by the Germans, who's got Sir in front of his name. And I'm just saying, it's not fair. It's not fair that black folk get to call everyone their homie, and white people don't get to do it with anyone, otherwise we look like jackasses. Like, LL Cool J calls Paul McCartney his homie, and that's cool. But if John Tesh called Jay-Z my main man, everyone would make fun of him. Right?
And they should.
Come on, that's got to be a two-way street.
Nope. Sorry, it's not. It should be, but it isn't.
All right.
Just get used to it.
Well, look at that as part of reparations,
Seth. See? There you go. That's a great idea. AdamCarolla.com. Don't miss the live show in Redondo Beach at the Performing Arts Center along with Dennis Prager. Two shows. 8 is almost sold out. 10:30, a couple of tickets available through AdamCarolla.com. And check out the podcast as well. And watch Adam on Celebrity Apprentice this Sunday night. Can't wait to have you in next week, man. Thanks for the time.
Love it.
Thank you.
Oh, this is happy news for everyone, ladies and gentlemen. The final Kevin and Bean Showbiz Report. How about that? Ralph Garman returns next week.
In the meantime, we are filling in, and we start with some great news. Nick Cannon apparently has some serious health problems.
That's not great news. What's wrong with you?
Oh, you haven't seen him on TV?
I've seen him. He's not talented, but you don't want to wish him ill health, do you?
This, I think there is a direct relation between how his health is going and what God thinks of him on television. That's what I think. In fact, it has gotten so bad, Kevin, that he announced today that he is leaving his daily radio show. Did you know that he has a morning radio show in New York City?
I did not know that. 92.3
FM. Yeah, he's leaving the show because of his health problems. Apparently, he has blood clots in his lungs. He's got an enlarged ventricle in his heart. He says the reason that he is susceptible to blood clots, and tell me if this makes sense to you, is because he flies a lot. And that he is on planes a lot and isn't moving around enough. And that's where he's getting the blood clots.
Isn't moving around? Well,
it definitely
makes
sense.
An awfully young dude who's not overweight to be developing blood clots just from sitting on some airplanes flying back and forth doing his show.
Flying back and forth, it doesn't do it if you're working out or getting exercise in between.
Right.
I would think so, too.
If you're not doing anything ever, then of course you can get problems with that.
Well, I'm delighted to see that New York radio listeners will be spared Nick Cannon on the air. If there's any way we can now get him to progress even worse and get him off television, get him off that America's Got Talent show, then I think we're going in the right direction.
What if he just gets off the America's Got Talent and then nothing bad has to happen to him?
That'd be okay.
All right, I'm just saying. You're not happy with that. Okay.
You could argue that he is married to Mariah Carey and that's punishment enough. So how much pain can one guy sustain, I guess? But I'm just happy to see bad things happen to bad people. That's all.
Speaking of bad people, Snooki may be slowing down at the tender age of 24. She is telling In Touch Weekly that she will be married to her boyfriend Gianni Laval. She will be married to him.
Uh-huh.
When he asks.
Okay.
He hasn't asked yet, but she's positive he will, and when he does...
Because look at her. How could he not want to marry her?
How could you not ask, too, for God's sake? She's so hot.
Kendall Jenner is the 16-year-old half-sister of all those Kardashian sisters. So there's Kim, and then there's Khloe, and then who's the other one? Katrina? Courtney. Courtney's the other one. Right. So then there's... Thank you, Lisa, for coming up with it after I've already said it. Then Kendall Jenner is 16 years old, and she's the one that they're trying to tell us is a model. She's the one that they're trying to say is going to have a big career. And she's telling People magazine that she's thinking about blowing off college, thinking about heading into modeling. Here's her quote, and you tell me if she's making the right decision. She's, quote, not really thinking about college right now because, quote, like, if my career, like, blows up and gets real big, modeling is what I would do. She has appeared in a handful of fashion shows. She says it was like so much fun, like the adrenaline and everything was like really fun. So
it's better than school. If you have the option, it is better than school.
Yeah, it sounds like she doesn't need college. It sounds like she's doing fine.
It sounds to me like she's already graduated as an English major.
That's true.
You know,
there's a new study that I can bear out, and that is, they've done it only in mice so far, but they say drinking alcohol makes your brain smaller.
It literally
makes your brain smaller?
Literally shrinks your brain.
Wow.
Or at least parts of your brain. That's not right.
Wait, didn't we see something last week? Didn't Dave have a story for us that said something that vodka was supposed to be helpful to you to learn or something?
Vodka specifically helps you, it said, speak better more English or something like
that. Speak more good, right?
Yeah, more good, yeah. That was the study of that, but this one says it makes the brain small.
Well, Kevin, I think...
I'm in a lot of trouble.
I think you owe it to science to do a little bit more studying on that and find out which one of those statements is true.
What makes it big again? Anything?
I can't imagine. I don't know. I don't know that it's bad that your brain shrinks either. I don't know enough about it, but listen to me.
That can't be good.
Here's Jeremy Lin back in the news. I thought this was fascinating. He, of course, is the sensation for the New York Knicks, who has just taken the world by storm. 2 weeks ago, you'd have to be a hardcore basketball fan to even know who Jeremy Lin was. Now he's on the front page of magazines. He's the best-selling jersey in the NBA.
Sports Illustrated cover.
Selling out games. He's going everywhere. And I thought this was really interesting. I'm always interested to see
What
music athletes listen to before they, you know, either go into the ring or go out on the gridiron or to play baseball or whatever it is. Because what do you think? I mean, usually it's rap, right? Usually you're pumping yourself up.
It's something to pump yourself up, yeah.
Yeah, whether you got Watch the Throne on your iPod or something like that, or, you know, some heavy metal or something like that, just to get just jazzed and amped and rocked and just ready to go, right?
Well, they asked Jeremy Lin, what do you listen to before you go out and play New York Knicks basketball? And I thought this was fascinating. No? Strangely.
What?
Strangely, Goat Horde did not make the cut.
Oh.
Here's Jeremy himself talking to Fuse Television. Let's see if this plays okay.
An artist you gotta check out is Lecrae. He's a Christian rapper. Just raps a lot about the gospel and about Christian music.
Can you imagine how bad Christian rap must be?
Well, let's get some Lecrae.
I mean, think about all the topics you don't talk about in Christian music. That's all they talk about in rap, right?
That's
all
true. Right.
So Lecrae,
what's left?
Yeah, I mean, there's not going to be guns. There's not going to be chicks. There's not going to be alcohol. There's not going to be drugs. All right, Lecrae is one. Let's see what else he's got.
I really enjoy his lyrics as well, so if you're a big lyrics guy, I think that'll be a good fit for you. I listen to something that mellows me out. Hillsong, it's a Christian band, and they play a lot of contemporary Christian music.
That sounds horrible, right?
Well,
Hillsong?
I listen to them just to remind myself why I'm playing the game and to remind myself I'm playing to glorify God, and I just really try to focus on that. I try not to get too hyped up, otherwise I find myself kind of burnt out before the game or going into the game just with a little too much energy playing out of character.
God forbid you go into a basketball game being too hyped up and with too much energy.
Look,
whatever he's doing is clearly working. But isn't that bizarre? Have you ever heard of a guy who says, I want to mellow myself out before I go out there and compete?
No, not at all.
It's bizarre. And by the way, and I know that I'm painting with a pretty broad brush here, Christian music sucks. I mean, it really
well,
does.
I think there's all kinds. I imagine there's good, don't you?
Really?
I would think so, yeah.
I would think there's all kinds.
I've tried hard to find it. I'll tell you. I do know that the stuff that breaks through, that goes beyond the Christian music radio stations and breaks through to pop and rock listeners, always sucks. And that's your Creed and your stuff like that. That stuff always sucks. So I can't imagine the stuff that doesn't make it is any better.
I'm a fan of Lecrae.
All right, Lecrae it is.
Might as well just try that one. Tom Cruise apparently is having trouble with his kids, his older kids, Connor and Isabella. In Touch magazine reports that he's very upset that Bella has a boyfriend that she's very serious about and she's not talking to him about her. Or him.
Yeah.
Not bringing him in to meet him, nothing. Wants to keep him away from Tom. Son, Connor, is a DJ with paying gigs, so he's not relying on his dad for money. And apparently they're not going down the path that Tom and Scientology have chosen for them.
That's got to be so upsetting.
So
he can control so much, but not his kids.
That's correct.
Yeah, I don't know anything about what Scientology says.
I don't either. I think it's
child
all good.
Rearing.
I agree. It's all good, whatever it is.
But I'm sure it's outstanding advice.
Yes,
please don't send the aliens to kill us. And finally, for me, I'm a little bit surprised. So far, you know, early reports were that the Whitney Houston funeral happening tomorrow was going to be broadcast on television. Now, everything that I'm finding this morning says it is only going to be shown online. There's going to be a live stream, including on E's website and a bunch of other websites. Somebody's got to cover. I mean, I would think somebody would show it on television, right? On a Saturday afternoon? I mean, you know, they got star power. They got L.A. Reid, Diane Warren, the songwriter, Chaka Khan, Darlene Love, Brandy, Stevie Wonder, Dionne Warwick, Clive Davis.
I don't think you're
there.
Going to it for talent.
No, but what I'm saying is networks make their decisions on what to air based on star power a lot of times. And if you know you've got Kevin Costner speaking at her funeral, it seems I can't believe E's not putting that on. You know what I mean? It just seems like something right up their alley. So, and by the way, how weird is that? Did you get the impression that Kevin Costner and Whitney Houston remained friends in the 20 years since they made The Bodyguard together? I think it's weird that he's there speaking out.
He saved your life, dude.
Well, he did save her life. Where was he Saturday night? He's kind of a crappy bodyguard, if you want to ask me. And the latest, apparently, is Bobby Brown has been invited to the wedding. To the funeral. And it looks like he is, in fact, going to be there and be able to stand with his daughter as they put mom down or whatever they do.
All right. Celebrity birthdays, there's too many to give your ages. So I'm just going to say Rene Russo, Lou Diamond Phillips, Larry the Cable Guy, Basketball Hall of Fame Michael Jordan, Michael Bay, director, Hockey Hall of Fame Luke Robitaille, Tim Mahoney of 311, Donnie Purcell of used to be on Prison Break, Denise Richards, singer, guitarist Billy Joe Armstrong of Green Day, Jerry O'Connell, Jason Ritter. This is true. These are all.
They're
all born today.
Yes. You're just reading out of a book.
Joseph Gordon Levitt. Paris Hilton and Cordova Street. Cordova Street is 23 years old. So that is the show.
Before we go, Chip and your band Fiction Reform are going to be appearing where this weekend?
Tomorrow night at the Bull Bar in Long Beach.
Is this real? Because I got the idea you're just punking us all with this.
No, it's a real band. We're not Lecrae. I'm sorry.
You're not Lecrae.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we're cool with Jesus, I think.
Okay.
Tomorrow night, 3316 East 7th Street in Long Beach. 21 and over. First band goes on at 7 o'clock. My band, because we're awesome, we go on at 10.
Nice.
Cool. And let me tell you something about Chip's band. I'm not just saying this because she works on the show. Really, really good band. Fiction Reform. You can get their first album on iTunes, and you should check out their website. And you guys are working on a new record right now, too, which I'm excited about. But have a great gig, Chip.
Thank you.
Do they ID you every time you go? Be honest.
Every damn time.
She's pretty short.
Chip is going to be 40, and she's still going to be getting carded, right?
God damn it.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh, my.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Good morning. Can you make it through Friday?
Roll another one.
Did you ever have one of those days?
Just like the other one.
I don't even know what to say about this.
This one seems to be about to quit.
I spit on you.
I need another hit.
Crack is cheap. I made too much money to ever smoke crack. Let's get that straight, okay? We don't do crack. We don't do that. Your crack is whack.
Roll. Just like the other one.
I am so big.
This one seems to be about to end.
It's dumb and I can't believe you guys are supporting it.
I don't have another cent.
Don't be the 1%, man. Be the 99. Peace.
Whoa. Just pass it around.
That's not brown rice.
Failed the audition. It's time to go.
It's over. The end. I am pulling the plug.
I just sure will appreciate this. I need it more than anything. And that's about it.
I'm Mark Thompson. Assalamu alaikum.
Thanks a lot for joining us, Mel. Take care.
Bye-bye. Asshole.